The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't think. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Yes. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Barring penalty, this is it. Trips to the right, Gronk is on the wing, Amendola, then Edelman to the outside, Dobson to the left, shotgun snap to Brady, retreats in the pocket, steps up to the end zone, the throw will be intercepted. Lester has it, a flag goes down, a flag is thrown, Gronkowski, perhaps interfered with, or at least held by Kuechly in the middle of the end zone. There will be another play here in Charlotte.
Oh man, it takes guts to throw that call.
Or is it on the Patriots? There will not be another play based on the reaction of the Panthers. Well, the flag was thrown.
I need to know what the call is.
And again, with referee Cleet Blakeman simply announcing that there was no foul on the play, he's being tracked down by Tom Brady, who's seeking explanation. He wants the explanation that we didn't get.
And Brady is serving him up right now. And good for Tom Brady.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We got a lot of work to do today. We got to get busy here because that is the game that everyone is talking about. The Patriots losing to the Panthers by 4 points on a controversial call at the end. No excuses. I don't care about these ex-referees' interpretations or what the VP of officiating for the league. We all saw it. We saw what happened. We saw what should have been. And these refs, they are pussies.
And all that.
For picking up that flag. You know, on the road, you know.
That's being a Fred Kirsch comment, right? That's not necessarily, yeah. You're not necessarily speaking for the entire staff at PFW.
I like when he sets him up. We all saw it. And then he says something like that.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Patriots and their fans have a right to be upset. However, there was a lot more to that game than that last play. And we're going to talk all about it. And then, of course, we also have to get ready for Peyton Manning and the Broncos coming Sunday night. So this is a busy week for us, short week. It's like the Patriots. When Bill Belichick gets up there at the podium, you know, we got a short week. We got a lot to do. So we're condensing three shows into two. So we got a lot to do. Guys are here.
I actually think the short week hurts us more than it does, like, Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Because he legitimately just has to turn the page. He can't spend time worrying about the call or any of that crap. We actually, I mean, by rights, we should have a whole show on the Panthers game and right. The call and all that crap, but we don't really have time to do that because we do have to turn towards Manning, Brady, 14, and
well,
the impact
we'll,
of this
we'll
game.
Try to give both ample we should do an ample opportunity
is
here.
Is that how many times it's been?
It'll this be 14. Is 14th meeting.
Wow.
Brady's 9-4.
Paul reported that, and
I double-checked
Field
it.
Yates backed it up.
Oh, okay.
I was a little worried.
I double-checked it for
you
that night.
I know, but sometimes you count wrong.
Andy, Eric, and Paul are here. I'm here. Kevin's
here's
in the
Here's the thing. If you see someone that says 15, they count 2008 when Brady did not play.
Right.
So.
Good, Paul.
That's why Manning's.
So that wouldn't count.
Right.
Manning's
They'd
record, be an idiot.
But Manning's record.
It's actually the 25th meeting, except Manning wasn't on the Colts for the first 17 years of it. Like, so, they'd be an idiot.
So somebody might look at it and say, well, Manning has X amount of games against the Patriots. And not realize, well, Brady didn't play.
It'd be like if they put game notes together after the game.
Oh.
What?
Hey.
All right, so guys.
That's Eric Scalavino. I'm cutting ties with everybody on this panel today. I only want to be held
right.
to what I say.
I told you. It was
what,
14.
What,
this is number 14 coming up.
What's your lingering thoughts from Monday night?
Well, my lingering thought is maybe the NFL and its officials should all get on the same page. Because I get more angry about the call. The call was effed up. And that happens all the time in sports.
Reffed up.
Reffed up, effed up. Move on from that. But they made it so much worse when they didn't give an explanation on the field.
That was a cop-out.
Then they gave an explanation to a pool reporter, and it was all about catchability. And then this other guy, VP Lembendino, comes out, and it's about the timing of the contact in regards to the interception, and at regular speed, you can see where... Well, that's not what they said.
Right.
So are you saying something different? Have you talked to them? Did they actually say this? So the water is getting so muddy. Just say we effed up. We effed up. It was a bad call.
Yeah,
it happens. We're humans.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. When was the last time the NFL actually admitted a mistake in an officiating call?
Oh, they have.
Yeah, they do it.
But when? It hardly seems like it ever happened.
I think there was one this year already.
Not often, but the Hockley one in San Diego jumps out to me.
But I'm pretty sure there was one this year.
All right, that's a good one.
Can't remember it. I'm pretty sure there was
been
one.
A few.
The Hockley one in San Diego was a good one. It was in Denver, but it involved San Diego
and
Denver.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
It seems to me though, like they try to go out of their way to make it sound like they didn't get anything wrong.
They do, because you have to be careful. You have the Paul Perillo people of the world that think you really suck as an officiating.
They think every call's wrong.
So you can't every week come out.
It's funny,
and
I have
say
a lot
we
more
wrong.
People in my club this week.
But I think when something as blatant as this, I mean, ticky tack calls, whatever, something as blatant as this, where everyone in the world who has a brain knows that there was a penalty, whether it was pass interference, holding, there was something wrong on that play. There was not no penalty. There was a penalty that took place.
Right.
To come out and be so defiant and say, no, the refs didn't get it wrong. Just come out and say, yeah, there was a mistake made.
And then when you compound that,
I
think they also compound that by not even staying on the same page in terms of why.
Like, I actually would have been, I would have been better off had they done what Eric said they did. If they had just said to me, I could disagree with it, but if they just said, no, it was the right call.
Right.
Blandino didn't even say that.
Right.
Blandino didn't back the refs.
He said
what's
the word they used?
He was too much of what Fred likes to call
the
people.
Mechanics. He said the mechanics were right.
Yeah. He wouldn't even say that the call was
Then your mechanics are terrible because it led to a bad call.
Yeah, a bunch of robots got together and changed the call.
And I'm sorry, I don't remember the woman's name that conducted the interview. I think she asked some really pertinent questions. I think she was right on. The only thing I would have added that she didn't was what you said. Well, why did the pool report say it was uncatchable, and you're saying it was simultaneous restriction?
Right.
That's another one of my favorites. It wasn't contact, wasn't holding. It was the restriction took place here.
Right.
Shut up. It's football.
Shut up. You just told the VP of the NFL to shut up.
Well, no. VP of officiating. Big difference there, Andy. Big difference. VP of officiating.
To Eric's point,
a clown.
Stripper says
he's still an NFL VP.
A total clown show.
Stripper says that on this year, in September, the NFL admitted that an illegal hit by the Chargers defensive tackle Cam Thomas on a Texans field goal attempt in the fourth quarter of a San Diego loss to Houston was incorrect. So Blandino was the one that actually said it should not have been penalized.
Yeah, they do it once in a while.
Yeah, once a year.
But like I said, I would have been fine if they said to me, no, this was the right call. The referees got it right. I would have disagreed with it, but he didn't do that.
Well, the one out I give him on
that is... All he did was say everything mechanically was sound.
It is a judgment call, and they are trying to maintain the veracity of the judgment of this crew, is what they're trying. They're trying not to... have a different, and it's part of the reason they don't want to review them because it's a judgment call,
and
they don't want to change the review to a different person making a judgment call because now you're really changing everything.
Well, but I agree with that. They don't need to be reviewing judgment.
And see, I can also see like refs, whether they say it together or not, or just think it, like, God, last play of the game, we do not want to be the reason, you know.
I think they're told that.
Well,
I personally
think
they're told that.
But in this is the case where the guy who was in the exact right spot felt so strongly that he threw the flag immediately.
Right. Like that was right. That's what I'm saying. Something took place. When Khalif Blakeman picks up the flag and says there's no foul on the play, and then he runs off to the locker room. No. Clearly there was something. It was either pass interference or holding. There was something. Right. There was an infraction that took place. Well, you can't just walk off and say nothing happened.
I know, like a lot of those like 50-yard Hail Mary passes at the end of the games. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the end zone. Everyone's like jockeying for position and everything. You know, but this was not that type of play. This is from the 18-yard line. It wasn't a Hail Mary.
No,
you know,
it was pretty close.
Well, no, it wasn't.
But I don't care about – I mean, there's pass interference. It's pass interference. Yeah. I don't care what kind of play
it is. I understand, but it's a different play than those typical Hail Marys where everyone's in a bunch. And
It's like a corner kick in soccer when everyone is pushing
everyone
and elbowing.
Everyone spread out. The guys were running patterns, and Brady, you know, supposedly threw to one guy.
Yeah.
You know? So
something happened though. That's the whole that's what I think has most people upset. Whether or not it was, like I said, whether or not you can argue it was pass interference, it wasn't catchable, it was hold, it was something.
Yeah, but what they ruled was that it was uncatchable. That's what the referees on the field ruled.
Right.
All he had to do was say that.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
No, oh no. It's still a horrific call.
Yeah. We're still not upset about it.
I'm still not even sure they ruled on the field that it was uncatchable. I think they said, let's get the hell out of here. And then when they got to the room, they said, let's go with uncatchable.
Right.
No, I think they did because I think
they did talk about it.
When he ran over, they said it was.
Don't you remember that memo? We're not supposed to throw flags on the final
play. And I don't know if he is speaking, you know, with direct contact with these officials, but I heard Mike Pereira talking. He's the former Dean Blandino.
Right.
And he said that the guy who threw the flag, whose name is escaping me right now.
Miles.
What's his name?
I thought it was something Miles.
Okay. Like I said, his name is escaping me. But he said he immediately looked for help. He immediately asked for help after he threw the flag.
He did. I saw the replay on that. Yeah.
I think, like I said, all the guy has to do, Blakeman, is get on the microphone and tell us there is no foul for pass interference on the play. The pass was uncatchable. I think it's a bad call. It doesn't change my opinion of the call, but it changes my opinion of the, to me, utter ridiculousness that was the way the game unfolded.
It's disrespect to not only the players on the field but all the fans that are watching.
It's insulting.
How can they
determine that it was uncatchable if the guy who it was intended for didn't have the opportunity to get to the spot where it was thrown?
But I think Fred's right. In this year where we've made this dramatic shift to in-stadium experience where every replay is going to be shown, every blah, blah, blah,
right,
to make sure our fans that are here are given at least the same experience as everyone else,
right,
you'd basically told your paying customers,
go
F yourselves.
Right.
We decided the game's over, but didn't tell them why. I think that, and now I can't imagine that sits well with the owners who are on this
kick.
Can you
imagine if this was the home, you know, in not in the favor of the home team? In this case, the Panthers fans were fine with it, you know.
Well, yeah.
But can you imagine if this was at Gillette Stadium and the same thing happened?
A lot of people don't think it would have happened if it was on the
that's another.
A lot of people think it happened because they were avoiding that.
I don't necessarily buy that one. I don't think they necessarily.
Somebody did a study that was on Deadspin yesterday about these types of calls and the percentages of them happen at home. And it's,
but who's, I saw that, but who's coming up with the calls?
What do you mean?
I can cherry pick, you know, 10 calls.
Oh, I don't know.
You know.
And was this just NFL, this study?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now, it was calls at home as opposed, and it's supposedly, you know, like the replacement refs with the play against
Seattle
and Green Bay at Seattle.
Yeah.
Even the Jets play in overtime was a home game for the Jets.
Right.
The
call goes on to the home goal team, you're saying.
Yeah, I mean,
but what was the sample?
Oh, I don't know. It was like a handful. Not a lot.
Oh. So that's like me sitting down going with the plays I can remember and just like.
That's my point.
What about the ones I forgot?
That's my point.
But I'm not even saying cherry pick, just, you know, flat out memory or how you.
But you know how, like, someone who's truly disturbed, such as myself, with my.
Remembers a lot of things.
My utter hatred of officiating in general. You don't
think everything else.
You don't think I can come up with five horrific calls for both teams in every game I've ever seen the way I pick on the refs?
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
Well, not sure everybody would agree with they were horrific.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's just utter incompetence. I don't think it has anything to do with favoritism for the
whole
team.
Well, that's how I feel. I saw a lot of people tweeting out, like, somebody tweeted me that, you know, this is three straight weeks I've seen NFL games decided by one of these types of calls.
New Orleans, San Francisco was another
credibility.
One.
Fran was another
I don't think
one.
It's a credibility issue. The games aren't fixed. I don't think they're fixed mistakes.
I'm not as hard on the refs as Paul is.
Well, no one is. I'm irrational.
So there are some that are more.
I'm not sure. No, Al Davis wasn't.
There are people that think their team gets picked on by the refs. I'm not one of those.
Yeah.
I think officiating stinks.
You know, I
and I think part of the reason, Paul, sorry, Fred, is because there are too many rules. I agree with Andy's point that he's made for over the years. We need to simplify the rule book, not expand it, not put in all of this nonsense and clauses for this and that. If something looks wrong, throw a flag. If it looks unsportsmanlike, throw a flag.
I'll give you some examples.
In the Gronk case, something was wrong. A flag needed to have been thrown. A call needed to have been made.
And I'll give you some examples to back Eric's point. Okay, this particular one, pass interference. But if it's uncatchable, it's not pass interference. We'll eliminate that part of the equation and makes it much easier. Intentional grounding. Oh, but if he's out of the pocket and he gets the ball to the line of scrimmage.
Right.
No,
too much nonsense.
All that crap. It's
too much
a penalty.
Nonsense.
You're either allowed to throw the ball away or you're not.
And is a spike considered a throwaway?
No, it's not considered a throwaway.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's part of the...
Well, like on this call, Dennis
the
and
rule
Callahan...
is to avoid a loss.
We're
exactly.
Reading,
exactly.
To avoid a loss.
Right.
Dennis and Callahan were reading, like, the six sub-rules of pass interference.
Yeah.
What do you need those for? Right. Did he interfere with the guy's ability to catch the pass?
Right. Exactly my point.
It seems like a monkey could decide what that rule means.
Right. Whether or not he was holding the guy, pushing the guy...
I don't need
guy,
any specifics.
Doesn't need specifics.
Did he interfere with his ability
in
to
any
catch
way.
The pass?
In any way.
Right. It's just ridiculous. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PASS-500 is the toll-free number. People are lining up. They all want to get in. But before we, get into all the what the listeners are saying and thinking, other thoughts in the game. I thought overall, I think the Patriots offense did very well against a good defense. You know, they made mistakes. And that's what killed them. The personal fouls, the fumble by Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
The Ridley one cost them points, at least three. And then I think the third and one play was, they ended up getting three. But that was a big moment in the game as well. But I think as far as moving the ball against a good defense, this offense would not have been able to do this like weeks 1 through 5. They wouldn't have been able to do it. So we are seeing the improvement, and we saw it against a good D. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Vereen immediately came in, as Andy said he thought he would, and contributed, especially on third down. I think all of that is good. The defense, though, in its current state, is not good. And I am going to make the excuse for injuries. I think that the defense, when they were healthy, was playing a lot better than it is now. And they aren't healthy now, and we're seeing the results. And that is a concern, there's no doubt.
It is. I think, though, that against the run, when the Panthers actually handed off the ball to run, not when Newton left the pocket and scrambled, but I thought they did a much better job against the run.
Terrific.
Against the Panthers than they did even
in
the
any
week
of these
before.
Because Ike's getting it done in the middle.
He has made
it gets back to Belichick. When he focuses on the one thing, he generally has a pretty good idea of how to slow
now,
it down.
I think injuries, you might have an argument for the way the secondary played a little bit because, you know.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, Tlaib wasn't 100%, but still was out there at least. You didn't have Dennard, who, by the way, Fred, was back at practice today.
Despite the reports that he had surgery.
Well, he may have had something, but he was able to go out and practice.
I'm pretty sure he had surgery.
Yeah.
But he probably had surgery, on Saturday when he missed practice.
Yeah, maybe. Saturday.
Yeah, the report is meniscus surgery, so I don't know what's involved.
Minor
procedure. He could have even had it on Friday.
I'm sure it was arthroscopic.
Yeah.
Procedure on his meniscus.
But he was out there, and Steve Gregory was also back out there. First time for
that's
those.
That's good.
Yeah. Fumbleman, who got hurt in the game, looked like it was pretty bad, too. Was not out there.
So did you say Tlaib was out there?
Yeah, everybody but Hooman was back out there.
Now, was this a walkthrough? What was the status
of this
practice?
No, they had shells. It was a regular practice.
Just to follow up on what Fred said, I left this game with a better feeling for the Patriots' long-term chances this season than I had coming in. And it's simply about the offense. It's simply about, I think, they went against what sort of sells itself as maybe the best defense in football in this NFL in this day and age, mm-hmm. and you went on the road and you battled them,
yeah.
and you put drives together and you stayed on the field.
Came down to the end.
You came up short, that's fine,
yep.
but in a road playoff game, you were a hair away, a sea hare as they like to say, those mythical
yes,
sea
the
creatures
horses.
In the ocean.
Right.
You were a hair away
I mean,
from winning
rabbits.
That game, and you couldn't do that a few weeks ago against the Bengals. You went 1
right.
of 12, you let Geno Atkins kill you, and you couldn't compete on that level. And, you know, we've talked about flicking the switch, going from a defensive team the first half of the season to offense now. I think, you know, they're going to flick that switch, and I feel better about their chances of competing for a championship today than I did before they lost on Monday night.
I kind of agree with that. My only concern is the health of the secondary, because and I wonder about Tlaib, too, because in his postgame comments, he was very what's the right word? He appeared to me very upset about not having been on the field for the final play, and more than just frustration in the outcome of the game. So what I mean by that is, when he was asked directly, did you lobby to get back in the game, his response, the way he reacted to that question, led me to believe that he was not as hurt, was not hurt enough to warrant being on the bench.
Right.
That's the impression I got from that. Now, maybe he was, and maybe he was just upset because of how everything turned out.
What's our theory about why he wasn't then out there? Was it because they were just geared up for the run? Or
even if they're geared up for the run, you put your best players on the field, and he certainly is your best defensive back. There's no reason he shouldn't have been on the field unless he physically couldn't do it. But he was also having trouble throughout the game keeping his emotions in check. And I wonder if they were worried that he wouldn't be able to do that in that critical situation, and whether they rolled the dice and said, hey, you know, the way you've been playing, we can't afford this. But they waited to a very inopportune time, in my opinion, if that was actually the case. Now,
yeah,
maybe he really was hurt enough, and he was just upset with how everything...
Yeah, I don't know.
But the answer he gave to the media when that question was asked made me question whether or not he was really as hurt as...
More angry.
Yeah, more angry at being... Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly right.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that he wasn't on the field for anything other than health. There's no way.
But
he played the whole game while he was acting like an a-hole.
Well, he did, but here's the thing. When he hurt himself against the Saints, right? That was the game.
Yeah, he came back in the game.
No, but here's the thing. When he hurt himself against the Saints, he went immediately to the sideline, called the medical staff over, and had them do stuff to him. And when he came back out the second time, the medical staff went up to him again,
right.
treated him. He went to the locker room. This time, he was standing, hands on his hip, right inches from the playing field.
I have no doubt
looking
that he
to get back in the game.
I have no doubt that he wanted to get back on the field.
He didn't get any treatment.
But I also have no doubt that the reason he wasn't on the field was health related. No, I have zero doubt of that. There's no way that they're benching him, coach's decision, with the game on the line.
See, I don't know.
But if you're really hurt, you get treatment.
If someone could give me a plausible reason for that.
Last
year in the AFC Championship game, he was he was hurt and he wasn't getting treatment. He stood there on the sideline the whole time. Stood there. He wasn't getting treatment the whole game.
I'm not saying you have to get it the whole game, you have to get it initially.
Out.
When you first get out, if you're hurt, you have to call the medical staff over to assess what's the problem.
But if they already know
the problem, I mean.
Exactly. Do I know exactly why he wasn't on the field? No, I don't. I don't know exactly why. But if you're asking me my opinion, I think there's a 0% chance that it was not health-related.
So you think something just before he tweaked something
he got
just
hurt.
Before that?
Yes.
See, not one person said, oh, I saw him limp or anything. And
That's not true. Somebody said when he made that last play.
On my end. You were on the other
end. Right. I forgot who now, but said that they saw him get up a little bit weird and go to the sideline.
Well, then Paul's probably right then.
Yeah, but...
I mean, and they probably said, look, you may be ready to go back in, but, you know, we need everyone that's, you know, 100% right now. We can't afford it.
Well, that would be my question. Was he 100% to start the game?
That's
well,
my
even
biggest...
if he was 80% and then he tweaks it, now he's 60%.
That's my biggest concern.
I know,
yeah.
But my concern is he wasn't 100% after a month off. And now he's definitely not 100% because he tweaked something.
Right.
Now he started at 80, he's down to 60, and your season's going down the crapper because
you're
number one corner that dominated to start the season.
Well, that's a concern. All feeds into my concern about the defense is, you know,
We're back scoring 40.
I think they've done really well, you know, addressing the whole run situation.
Sorry, Paul,
that
we won't
they
play
had
the best
earlier.
Defense every week.
I think that they did really well against that. But right now it's the secondary. Everybody is banged up in the secondary.
And,
everybody.
You know, for that reason, Fred, your reason, I agree with everything that Andy said, other than the fact that I'm more encouraged today than I was, unless, because I, what I see is a redevelopment of the team over the last couple of years. They can move the ball and they can score points. And when push comes to shove, I don't think they'll stop anybody.
Right.
So I think if you come up against a reasonably good defense against a team that can move the ball, I think you're probably going to lose.
Right.
I don't see you winning three in a row in that scenario.
You know,
and when I say, like, not feeling good about it, not that I don't think they're going to go 12-4 and, you know, win more often than they lose. I'm talking about winning the Super Bowl. That's what, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
I feel less confident that they could win the Super Bowl today than I did before that game. I thought that they would I did not envision Cam Newton throwing three touchdown passes without even anything close to a miss. Well, I shouldn't say close. He kind of made a couple of dangerous throws. I didn't envision that offense moving the ball the way it did and not turning the ball over. I didn't envision that.
Yeah,
that worried me.
You thought they were going to poop their pants.
I thought Carolina would poop its pants.
Well, they
defensively they did a little bit, but offensively they moved the ball up and down the field, and I was not expecting that. I didn't expect the long drive. Andy, I think you had in Read and React 9, 11, 13, and 13 or something play drives for Carolina.
Yeah. I did not expect that.
You agree with the head coach of the Panthers, Ron Rivera, that they didn't play a good defensive game. I contend that had they not played as well as they did, the Patriots would have scored in the 40s.
That's where I am.
Yeah.
Because I think this offense is now back. I mean, I think with Vereen and the weapons, I think the offense is back.
I do too.
And I think that's a good defense. And you don't have to beat that defense all that often. To me, I said that I think it was a road playoff game. I think that, and that's what you're probably going to be playing at home most
right.
of your playoff
games. It had a playoff feeling to it. Both coaches were kind of playing the
switch. And then my other aspect that makes me feel better is it's even more now just the Broncos.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like I can score. And I can score against Kansas City. I can score against Cincinnati. I can score against the Colts, other potential playoff opponents. I don't know if I can score enough because of my now terrible defense, my now banged up, putrid, holy defense.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can score enough to beat Manning, but we all know, and this is a little bit in my head, Manning chokes in the postseason, and he could be the number one seed and be gone before you have to play him.
And ever so slightly, I'm starting to come over to your guys' side of the fence when it comes to Hightower.
Oh.
You know?
Welcome aboard.
Well, I'm not all there yet.
Oh, of course
I got
not.
One leg on one side of the fence.
Because he's still a Patriot.
Right, you're right.
But
I'm
starting to lose a little patience with him, you know? Like, one of those sacks could have been Hightower's. He should. That's a game where he should have been able to do something.
Yeah. Theoretically, if he is what he is, he's your Cam Newton. He's on the other side of the ball, playing the read option, playing the edge, playing the run, being versatile, being athletic.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. George is in Winnipeg. Hey, George.
Hey, guys. Right on cue. You bash Hightower as soon as you let me on. Thanks for that.
Is that what you were calling about?
No, it wasn't, but I gotta say my quick piece on that. I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be a 10-year vet with us. He's going to be the leader of the defense in 5 years. He's going to be a Pro Bowler. But moving on.
Based on what?
Played offensively. We played pretty well. Defensively, I thought we played well, except for the last minute and a half of the game. Arrington, again, getting beat on that hook route, was it, where he missed the tackle? Didn't we see that like 5 years ago or 5 weeks ago? I mean, I felt like he got beat on the exact same play a few weeks ago that cost us the game. Maybe it was last season, but that was very disappointing to me that he can't friggin' make a tackle out in the open. I mean, that was disappointing. And then the penalty at the end. I mean, we're big hockey fans up here in Canada, and in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, in overtime, you don't call chintzy penalties, right? You got to let the players play. I like that the refs let them play. This is the thing, though. If you're not gonna call the pass interference so that the pass gets the ball on the 1 yard line, I get that. I wouldn't agree with that on that play. You got to give us a illegal hands to the face or a holding. Give us a 5 yard penalty so there's no time left. We have one opportunity from the 13. Because it was on the 18 when we're going for the win.
Right.
Give us the ball from the 13, at least to redo the play.
Right.
At least to redo the play. You can't let the game end like that.
Yeah.
Well, here's
I
my...
I think somebody else runs the NFL. Yeah.
Okay, we're kind of breaking up there,
yeah.
George.
Did he change his voice? Was he doing an impression?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there, but about letting the refs letting the players play the game, I'm all for that if they do that throughout the game. I'm not a big fan of, oh, let's make all the calls until it's crunch time and it really means something. Then you let the players play.
But they
either you let the players play all the time or you make the calls all the time.
But they
you
don't.
Have to be consistent.
They don't. There's a different set of
rules. Oh, I know they don't,
the
but I'm saying
that. There is in the regular
I agree
season.
With Eric. I hate that, especially in basketball. I can't stand it.
It's all sports. Just because the time's running out and the situation may be magnified doesn't mean you either make calls or you don't. You should be doing the same thing throughout the game.
Yeah, I agree.
And I
think players would agree too. The one thing they always say is as long as they're consistent.
Right.
That's what they're all looking for.
And I think
in this particular case it was such an egregious penalty it had to be called. I think they missed this call.
Oh, absolutely.
In general, I don't want a ticky-tack pass interference call in that position.
But that wasn't ticky-tack.
I might be okay. I just said that was a blatant call that they missed.
No, right. But you're assuming they go to the ticky-tack. What if they just eliminate the ticky-tacks and only call those?
But what I'm saying is if in the second quarter there's a ticky-tack pass interference call, that happens all the time. I don't want to see that same call. So I have no problem with a lack of consistency. With the game on the line, I want the threshold for a penalty to be higher in all sports.
Yeah. And I'd rather it be more consistent.
I have no problem with that.
I'd rather it the other way. If you consider it a ticky-tack foul that you wouldn't call in the final 5 minutes, then don't call it in the second quarter.
Right.
That's how I would like
to
go.
You just would like a game without officiating.
Right.
So you could go old school and everybody could
just hit
each other. And the winning team is the one who has 11 left at the end.
Was there a better play in that game than Mike Tolbert's first down run when he bounced and then bounced the outside and just bitch slapped Devin McCourty to the ground? That's a fullback run that I can enjoy.
All right.
He's not lying. He got visibly excited when Mike Tolbert made the most ridiculous 2-yard run ever.
I like big bruising backs.
The press box was pretty behaved, I would say, except, you know, when that call at the end came and they picked up the flag, there was some woman, I don't know who it was, behind me. She's like, what? She sounded like a chicken. What?
So, was that like Howard Stern there?
Yeah.
What?
She was like, what?
And you told her to sit down. Shut up.
No, I mean, I was right with
her. No, if it was the Jets.
No.
If it was a Jets lady.
Everybody did react in the press box when that happened.
Everybody on Earth reacted. Anyone who was awake watching that game reacted.
Chris is in Boston. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey.
I actually want to bring up Hightower again real quick.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
My issue with him, of all the terrible plays I saw made during that game, was that last pass of the game to Ted Ginn Jr., you had four guys who could kind of make a play on the ball. You had Kyle Arrington, totally blew the coverage. That I'm getting accustomed to. You have Devin McCourty, Logan Ryan with the last-ditch effort. And then you have Dante Hightower, who looked like he was trailing from behind, looked like he could make a play. He was dogging it as usual. Did you guys notice that?
No, I did not, actually. Are you sure he was dogging it and not just the view? And well, I mean, because he's not as—I mean, he's not going to keep up with Ted Ginn.
Ted Ginn's a speedster. Something is he just a little slower than I think?
Yes, he's a little slower than he was sold to us. He's not as fast.
Really, that lazy?
I'm not going to call out his effort at this point, having not seen it. But I think a lot of times you see guys from camera angles behind plays that, they realize they're out of the play and they. You know, dial it down.
Right. And it is Ted Ginn. There's no way he's going to.
Yeah. That play was on Kyle Arrington. Yeah, and he didn't blow the coverage. He blew the tackle.
You know, that was Kyle Arrington on an island. Right. And he didn't make the play.
Right. But not even he mentioned the cover. It was a tackle. It's a simple football play. Make the tackle.
It's the same play that won the San Francisco game here last December. Michael Crabtree caught like a 12-yard hook, spun like you see every NFL receiver do, and he broke the tackle and he got the sideline. No one could catch him. Same thing that happened in this
And play. I'm not giving him any groin or any, excuse. Oh, he's hurt. No.
He was close enough to make the tackle. He just didn't make the tackle.
Yeah. He just missed the tackle. It's a blown tackle. No excuse. You lost the game.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Let's go to another Chris. This one has a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Yeah, hold on. I'm just watching Hightower. He's still running after Duke.
So Hightower is the only thing that makes people more angry than the call.
I guess so.
Yeah.
On this show,
The call I'm discussing. I did my general 48-hour after a Patriots loss. I don't listen to anything. I don't watch anything. And I go to the New York Post to read how the Jets lost. That's my only, therapy. But, you guys touched upon on the beginning, on top of the show, the beginning quickly. Paul, you said it. the offense is bad, great, so is the defense. And
that's what I'm worried about.
At one point in the game, you know, in that final quarter with Tolibo, you had six of your 11 opening day starters not on the field, on the defensive side of the ball. And that's why you see guys like Arrington missing tackles and Hightower trailing and Dane Fletcher on the field and Andre Carter on the line. No good. No good. You're not going to – that's why you stink on third down, because you got those guys out there playing meaningful minutes. And I'm excited as anybody that the offense looked as good as they did against that defense. But long-term picture, you got to hope Khalid is healthy, and you got to hope that Dennis – I guess he had surgery, you guys said?
Yeah.
That's according to reports.
Practice today, is that what you guys said?
Meniscus.
He was out there for practice today, yes.
Going at about, you know, all of them were going at about a quarter speed in the drill. No, he was on 2 feet, but they were the portion that we saw was individual drills.
And I think
he wasn't doing a heck of a lot.
Did he actually have a drainage bag hanging from
the knee? I think that, you know, perhaps he was been the beneficiary of Tlaib's early play, but I think he was having a pretty good season. I think he was making plays.
I think Dennard played pretty well.
Yeah. He certainly doesn't pop up with the Arrington-like misplays when he seems to be put in the spotlight.
Usually when he gives up completions, he's much more competitive.
And look, when Arrington was playing in the slot early, he was playing okay.
That's more of his
natural
position.
When he was in the slot against Jeremy Curley and got benched.
Yeah, but I really think, though, the defense was looking pretty good early in the season. And it's a shame.
It really is. And, you know, quickly, I wanted to get your thoughts on the last drive of the game with the personnel they had in there. Tompkins had two big catches for yarders. Like, one was that 37-yard, the other one was like 23, I think.
Two slants. Two great play-action slants that he got wide open on.
And
made the catch.
Yes.
And caught the ball, yeah. And no call. He didn't catch the ball four times like he usually does.
Right. Dobson did that once.
Yeah, Dobson did. Why was Julian Edelman out there on that final drive instead of KT? And I'll let you guys go because I know you got a lot of calls today. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Christian.
My guess would be hurry up. The guy that is more comfortable in the offense, who you think is more reliable to line up and play.
Maybe also a better opportunity to, you know, break a tackle and make a big play. Mm.
Racket.
Because I think he is one of those guys that's
slippery.
He's special. Yeah. With the ball in his hands, he makes guys miss. The first guy very rarely gets him.
Yep. Let's go to West Palm Beach. Cavern's down there. Hey, Cavern.
How is everyone today?
How you doing?
Yeah.
I'm about as happy as everyone else is. I got two questions. The first one is more for Fred and Eric, since you guys were there. What, on the lines of the fan interaction in the stadium or whatnot, what was the reaction in the stadium after the call happened? I mean, did they show the replay multiple times or?
No.
I mean, was it just kind of
It was
chaos?
Quick. It was very quick.
Everyone just ran out in the field and it was done.
It was quiet
in
the stands because I think all the fans expected, you know, that it's going to be first and goal at the one.
Right.
And they're going to get one more play and it's going to be over. And then all of a sudden the Panthers guys kind of crowded around the officials. And a couple of them started pumping their fists. One of them ran off to the side. And at that point, that's when I knew the call was going against New England.
And then everyone cheered. And
then,
that was
they
it.
Made, then they, then, yeah, Blakeman came out and said, there's no flag. And everyone erupted. And that was it.
Well,
good Patriots crowd there, though. I should say there was a good amount of Patriots fans there.
Yep.
And my second question is for Andy. I don't know if you remember, but during the draft that Hightower came out, you guys were talking about all of the Alabama defensive players, and I think you said that only time would tell, you know, which of these guys was the best between Barron and Hightower and Upshaw.
I remember that well.
I think what we're learning is that they all were decent players. They just happened to be really good college players, because I don't think that any of them have just come into the league and been fantastic. I mean, down here I'm around, you know, quite a few Buccaneers fans, and all of them are saying the same thing about Mark Barron that we're saying about Hightower.
Well, and the Jets are saying it about D. Milliner. I mean, you know, so it's they play great team defense, I guess, or you know,
and they're good players, not great players.
And you don't know the guy who's responsible. Right. You know, who's the guy that other people? No, but who's the guy that's really good, and the other people look better because of?
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. That's Cavern in West Palm Beach. Let's go up the country to Buffalo. Andrew.
Up the country. Eastern Seaboard,
hey,
maybe?
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
And, the game was so horrible, man. I was so pissed after seeing what happened. But I got two things I want to rant on. After looking at the replay at the end of the game, I noticed, like your caller said, why wasn't Tompkins out there? Because Julian Edelman was out there. When they replayed what was going on as far as like the penalty, the flag being picked up, they have Julian Edelman, who looks like he's open near the pylon up the top of the screen, and the cornerback who's over him is towards the back of the end zone, and you see the inside corner who's coming towards the area where Gronk is at. So I'm wondering, and it looks like he's open prior to the pass being thrown. So I'm just wondering if Brady had to just, you know, sort of look through his progressions just a little bit longer, you know, maybe we would have had a easier win. Because he was, like, he seemed to be open. What do you guys think about that?
He didn't have a tremendous amount of time to throw that pass.
No, he was under pressure. I don't say that.
I don't doubt your Edelman theory. I haven't really seen a good shot of that. You know, all 22, yeah. Andy.
Right.
So I don't know if he was wide open. I would say that, you know, from the 18-yard line in a situation like that, the chances are really, really small. I mean, I think the people think that because he threw one against New Orleans that you should just complete those. That's what you do. I think there's a very, very small percentage of opportunity to get a touchdown in a play like that.
I also go to my playmakers. Well, that's kind of my, when everybody said he threw it 17 times to Gronk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Throw I have 18. No problem with
I'm going
that.
To Gronk. He's right. My guy. He's my money man, red zone, everything, Gronk.
Like Andy said, you know, when in doubt, I'm giving it to Gronk.
Yep.
But,
yeah.
To Nick Wagner, if you got this guy on the field, you got some problems, man.
Yep.
I don't know against Greg Olsen, the type. I don't know his first name, but I know it's
Greg. Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen.
This is the only guy, I mean, y'all have out there the matchup, because they did a horrible job. I think they did a horrible job on that tight end.
Well, they did, but that was McCourty. McCourty had by far his worst game of the season. He had the penalty. He was just chasing Greg Olsen all the time, gave up the touchdown.
The touchdown was really bad coverage.
McCourty had by far his worst game of the season, and that had nothing to do with Nate Ebner. That's a separate issue. The fact that Tavon Wilson, the guy who Eric really should be mad about, the safety who was a surprise pick, who can't play, that's... There's no excuse for the fact that Tavon Wilson is a worse option on defense than Nate Ebner, who didn't play defense in college.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the reason they tried him on Olsen was because of all the safeties they have. He is by far the biggest and strongest, Ebner.
Right, but he runs around like a He-Man figure with like his...
No, he does, but I'm saying that's the only explanation I can give you for why they decided to try him out at least a couple of times. I mean, he was in that first series, and then he didn't show up again until...
Tavon Wilson's just as big as he is.
No, I think Ebner's a bigger dude.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Tavon Wilson is their biggest safety.
I think Ebner looks
their biggest
like,
bust as
Ebner
well.
Ebner looks
comparable.
Like he's got a built-in neck roll. But,
he does.
You know, he's
I mean
not,
bigger physically. Like, he's more muscular. I got the roster right in front of you. Look at it. I mean, but the roster,
from
that
the
doesn't
shoulders
mean much.
Up,
that means it supports Andy's argument
nope,
and not
Fred,
well,
I don't know. I've never looked at what Wilson
Fred,
is.
I'll give you, you know.
6 feet, 215. Ebner 6 feet, 210. They list him at. But if eyeball test tells me Ebner's a bigger, stronger
my eyeball
guy.
Tells me.
I think Tavon Wilson is an imposing
I think Tavon
safety.
Wilson is the most impressive-looking
physically
physique on this team, you could argue.
Wow.
He's
a converted
big,
corner.
Fast, athletic.
He's no
he
Rodney
play.
Harrison. Rodney Harrison, to me, was an intimidating-looking safety.
He's probably only about 10 pounds different than
I
Rodney Harrison.
I would doubt he's that. I think they're very
and
similar.
I think they're similar.
Thanks for the call, Andrew.
But Fred, I had, you talk about the caller just brought up Ebner. I was joking with Andy. At the beginning of the game, they ran the ball. Carolina, first drive, they ran the ball for nothing. They threw an incomplete pass. And I looked at Andy, and I made a joke. I said, I think they were one incomplete, because you know that I thought Carolina was going to pee itself.
Right.
I said, they're one incomplete pass for me giving the nod for this game. Literally the first drive of the game. And then they showed the Patriots defense, and Dane Fletcher and Nate Ebner, right? And I looked at Andy, I go, check that. This game ain't over.
Let's go to Victor in Ecuador. Hey, Victor.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Can you hear me?
I can.
See.
Yeah. Okay, Andy. The Reds cannot throw the flag and pick it up and expect my husband to win the game too.
That's good. That's very good.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I don't want to get into all the talk about the the refs. I just think that we played a good game. I mean, the offense was playing great. We had only six drives. I mean, six drives, we put up 20 points. We had a fumble, and then, well, the last play of the game, But I'm worried about the defense. You know, it's like we're down six starters, and I don't know. I think without Dennard, maybe without Talib, with all these injuries, we might not beat Denver. And then I just think it's time to let the offense take control like the defense did in the first two games and just let everybody on defense get healthy for the playoffs. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't think they can afford to, you know, rest, unless it's one or two guys, rest guys, because I really think, you know, Paul will disagree, but, you know, I still think you're fighting for seeding.
Why will I disagree with that?
Well, I don't know, because you think, you said even if they lose to Denver, it's not going to be any big deal. They're going to be fine.
I still think they'll be okay, yeah, but I mean, you of course you're fighting for a seed.
Yeah. I think you still got to.
Doesn't mean that you can lose all the rest of the games and still get a seed.
Yeah,
you got to play. You got to win the games.
There's enough guys that are out for the season on IR where you can't afford to be resting other guys.
No.
You know?
No. I think they did as much as they could before the bye with Talib, you know, trying to ease him back.
But
if you wanted to
rest Talib, you could. I mean, you're not missing guys on IR from the secondary.
Well, but you can't rest Talib if Dennard's out.
No, I'm saying if you wanted to. I don't think that they do that. I don't think that Bill Belichick, as a rule, rests guys that are well enough to play, you know, within reason. Now, is there a guy who might be 50-50 or whatever? Okay, you're on the side of caution. I'm talking about the guy's ready to play. My concern, and someone brought this up to us, Fred, yesterday, do you try to play Talib this week? Because obviously you need him against Denver, but then maybe sit him out the rest of the way until the playoffs. And my... Assuming that he's hurt.
Got to put bubble wrap on our number one receiver. Got to put bubble wrap on our number one corner.
But assuming that he's hurt.
Better buy stock in
bubble
wrap.
If he's not hurt, then this is all a moot point. But assuming that he's you know, suffered some sort of aggravation to the hip injury, what is the resting him the last 5 weeks going to do? I mean, you just rested him for 5 weeks, and he came back and couldn't make it through one full game.
Well, before when you were resting him, you had Dennard in there, and guys weren't hurt. Now, if
I'm talking about for Talib's health. Like, you can rest him for 5 weeks if you want, but I have the same concern going into the playoff game that I do right now.
Oh, sure.
That halfway through the game, he's not going to be available. Again, assuming that he aggravated the hip injury, which I think.
Like I said, I think the Patriots defensively, when it comes to the secondary, they're in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot right now.
Yes, they are.
You know?
You know, you're
it's not like the other team coming to town has a good offense.
And you got Gregory... Gregory missed the last game. He could play with a cast on his hand. Who knows? Dennard probably out, based on reports. Talib probably going to play, I would think, but not at 100%. And then you have McCourty, who last week in the locker room, and Eric and I saw, big wrap on his left shoulder, I believe. Left shoulder.
Are we talking about? I'm sorry?
McCourty.
Yeah.
That's not the shoulder he had off-season surgery on, by the way.
Oh,
that was
good.
That was the right, which to me, that makes it worse.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm. Now he's dealing with probably less than 100% with both shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Kyle Arrington, who hasn't been able to really make it through an entire game for like a month. You know, full load
with
working with his groin problem.
I think Ebner's healthy.
So now you're dealing with key guys. Marquise Cole, Nate Ebner.
Logan Ryan.
Daron Harmon.
I don't feel good about that.
Rutro Raggy.
Yep. Let's go to Rob, who's in South Carolina. Hey, Rob.
Yeah, hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Hello. How's it going?
South Carolina, you're on.
How's it going, fellas?
Good.
Well, you know, I'm just so disappointed. I was at the game the other night, one of the few Patriots fans, and I mean, there were a bunch of us there, but it's just so disappointing because this is my whole beef. I mean, the Panther fans, I mean, they are what they are. They can't read that well because they see that, you know, Cam Newton's, what, 20-22 as a starter now. You know, so he's got a losing record. Ron Rivera's got a losing record. The franchise is going nowhere. They've got this little tiny bit of glimmer of hope they've had all season, but it's not going to last that long. They aren't going to anywhere. And I just... It's so disappointing to me to see the Patriots go down there the last minute of the game, last 40 seconds, and get all the way to the end zone. What the hell were they doing the other 59 minutes of the game?
why is it that we always see the Patriots come back, and I think they did it in, what, the Saints game or whatever, come in, last-minute touchdown or something like that in the last few seconds? It just doesn't – it's not right.
That's kind of the NFL. I mean, nah, I don't know why that is, but it just – defenses.
But no one scores every time they get the ball. Yeah. I mean, like the previous caller pointed out, they were pretty efficient.
I mean, the Patriots only punted once. Is that right?
Patriots punted once. Panthers punted twice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We've had two games here in the season, at least probably more, but at least two games in the season where we've gone down in the last minute of the game and gotten to the end zone or at least to the red zone.
Right, but they were doing that the whole game, Rob. They were moving the ball into the red zone the whole game. Unfortunately, they finished 2 for 5 when they got to the red zone. That's a big part of the reason why they lost.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, we need to get back down there more. If we can't increase the efficiency and make the 2 for 5 better, well, we need to go down there and beat
Rob, and I hear what you're saying about
seven possessions.
I hear what you're saying about
really
the Panthers,
six, right?
You know, franchise not going. Their defense is good. Their defense is good, and I'll go back to what I said earlier. I think if they had Patriots were playing a lesser defense the way they played, they would have scored 40 points.
Yep.
I think the Carolina Panthers are what prevented them and their own mistakes from what?
Play the game in Foxborough, and I mean, it's a different story.
Maybe you add 10 points.
Defense travels.
But, yeah, I'm saying that the Panthers' defense is legit. As much as you want to kind of discredit the franchise and how far they're going
to go. I'm not discrediting it. I just don't think it played anywhere near as well as some people are trying to make it out to be.
Their defense is good. They've done.
They are good.
I knew you wouldn't give them credit. No, now they just played Tom Brady in that crappy offense.
No, I think it is a good offense. But, I mean, everybody's saying how great the offense played.
What?
So how much credit am I giving them?
I personally believe the offense is back. Right. I personally believe from here on out, they're going to score 30-plus points virtually every week.
I do, too.
So I give the Panthers credit for doing what they did, plays in the red zone.
One of the things I said to you.
Forcing a fumble, taking the ball. You know, I give them credit because I think they went up what's going to finish the year as a very, very good offense.
Right now, statistically, the Panthers are the highest-rated defense.
Yeah,
correct.
And I think
for whatever that's worth.
I think the Panthers have a very good defense. I do. I don't think they were as impressive Monday night as you do.
Because the Patriots made them look that
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Right.
They finally played a good offense, and I agree with Andy. I think the offense is back. I am fully ready to say that. I think the offense is back. It was reminiscent of the stuff that we've seen over the last several years. So they played a good offense, and I don't think they played very. I don't think they looked as good as they have.
No, but they still only gave up 20 points.
The points were down to me because of what the Panthers did on offense. And that, to me, was the key going in. And I actually mentioned it to Andy in the pregame show. If Carolina's going to win this game, if Andy's prediction was right, which he ended up being dead on, I think you were 1 point off.
I was. Thanks for remembering.
The Panthers' offense was going to have to win the game. To me, that's what won the game.
The Panthers' offense
could not be stopped, just like the Patriots' offense
couldn't
be stopped.
But at the same time, the defense did not allow the Patriots to score quickly either. I mean, you can also, besides, you know, playing good defense, you can also get more possessions by scoring fast yourself. You know, so making the game
you
go
get
longer.
More possessions by getting stops.
But by getting
and
stops,
they couldn't get
also,
stops.
But also, the Patriots' drives were long drives as well,
yes.
Eating up clock, and that was because of the Panthers' defense.
And you didn't get any turnovers for the first time
right.
in 37 games.
Yeah.
You didn't get any turnovers.
I just think that the Panthers were good defensively.
Let's go to Maurice in South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Mo?
Hi, I'm working today at the fire station. I'm still kind of upset about the game this past Sunday night. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a little buzzing, but
do you have
going
a poll
on.
At the fire station? Do they still have those in fire stations?
Yes, sir. We don't use it, though. It's just there for decoration.
Why not?
Well, hey, the injuries and, you know, insurance and stuff, so.
Oh, you soft-ass firefighters can't go down a pole?
The least you can do is rent it out for bachelor parties.
Didn't think
have
he
women,
was going to say
you know,
firefighters there.
Get up off fire, so we can't use that there. But anyway, I'm still upset about the game on Sunday night, and the only way I can get over it is if we beat Denver. But my question is, when you guys do the good list and bad list, Kyle Arrington name seems like he lives on the bad list. And my question is, when is Bill Belichick going to realize this guy cannot play?
Well,
and if they have to have him on the roster, the only time he should be on the field is doing blitz packages, blitzing the quarterback.
Well,
the guy simply cannot cover.
But that's they paid him $8 million to be there
at least
slot corner.
With you.
Yeah, and all of us. I think we all agree with you. When he got that $8 million deal, or $8 million guaranteed, it's a bigger deal than that, but essentially $8 million guaranteed last spring, I was stunned. I just... To me, that's well beyond, excuse me, beyond his value.
Yeah, let me ask you also, going back to the Super Bowl we were in like a few years ago against the Giants, and Eli Manning threw a pass 40 yards from the end zone, 40 yards. Wasn't Kyle Arrington on that end of the play against Manningham?
No.
No.
It wasn't Kyle Arrington?
Sterling Moore and Patrick Chung.
Yeah.
I thought it was Arrington, but I just have a problem with Arrington on the squad. I mean, he doesn't even feel.
He was playing fine early in the season in the slot. Its problem is when he gets exposed when he has to play that outside corner position.
Yes, but question is, can't you get him? I mean, I just feel he's overvalued. I agree with you. I think when he's in the slot, he's okay.
You know, do you pick up a guy like Asamoah?
Right.
Nah. Roll the dice?
Dare
I say sign Rosai Dowling back?
No, I think Sterling Moore's available.
Yeah. I would go Asamoah over Dowling.
Yeah, another thing is, I don't know who the offensive coordinator is at Denver, but I'm willing to bet on the billboard target number one is Kyle Arrington. I'm willing to bet.
They're going
to Arrington this Sunday.
Well, it depends which targets are on the field.
Yeah, if Tlaib is not playing, then I don't think that will be target number one.
I mean, if it's Arrington, Ryan, Nate Ebner,
they're going to go after the other guys. Arrington's going to be considered the strong part.
The reason I say I think Arrington is target number one is because guys like Logan Ryan, he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. We don't know how good he could be. Arrington, where he's at now, he's not going to get any better. So that's my point. I think he's just not that good, and I don't know why Bill Belichick still has this guy on the team. I mean,
I actually think it's the exact opposite because of injuries. I think if everyone were healthy, Arrington would have been the number one target because I think Wes Welker would have wiped the slot with him. But because everybody is injured, I think he may be the best of what they have on the field and others will be the top targets.
Let's go to...
Although, don't get me wrong. If Demaryius Thomas and Kyle Arrington are matched up, that's a bad matchup.
Let's go to Alex in Chicago. Alex.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Good.
Obviously, this is a real disappointing loss. We moved to 7-3. And this puts an even bigger emphasis on the Broncos game. I know a lot of Patriots fans are saying, well, we don't lose two games in a row. I don't think that applies when the Denver Broncos are coming to town. And if there's any Patriots fans looking for positive reinforcement, I think I don't think the Jets, the Bills, or the Dolphins are going to win out. So I think that we're going to win the division, obviously. And if you look at the past 10 years, where have all those great regular seasons gotten us, you know? So I'm glad we're struggling a little bit. Maybe we can hit our high point, you know, in the playoffs and make a push to the Super Bowl if we're lucky, and hopefully things get better. And it said Alfonso Denner practiced today despite reportedly having a knee surgery. I had no idea about a knee surgery, so I wanted to ask you guys about that and if you guys can comment on that. So thanks.
Okay, thanks, Alex. We mentioned it before about Denner. The report is he had some type of meniscus procedure with his knee. Andy thinks it was arthroscopic. He was out on the field today.
I know for a fact if he had a procedure and he's back out on the field today, it was arthroscopic.
It had to be,
I mean, there's no chance in hell it wasn't.
So,
right.
And he was moving around. I don't know if he was running.
He was lightly jogging with a noticeable I don't want to say limp, but, you know, hitch, whatever you want to call it. But to be fair, they were doing position drills where everybody goes at the very least half speed, three-quarter speed.
And the report is that he'll be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. The Herald first reported
he still could be.
He was going to miss Sunday. Then the Globe kind of followed up with a little more detail on a meniscus procedure. And they all seem to agree he's not playing Sunday.
And that could very well be the case. I mean, guys have practiced and not played. Look at Tlaib before the bye was practicing and not playing.
And there's also a very good chance that when you guys left the field, he left the field.
That's very good possibility.
The other thing Alex said, though, I'm kind of glad the Patriots are struggling now because maybe they'll hit their peak later on.
Yeah, I never agree with that. Never.
That doesn't work out like it doesn't work that way. You know, it's
you can make an argument maybe that if a team that's on a hot streak loses a game in December, or at this time of year, maybe. Like the
No, but you just have to look at how the team is playing
yeah.
and who's out there.
Right.
And,
well, wouldn't it be funny if, like, I feel better about the team after this loss,
but
I thought they were
do.
Playing like crap early in the year when they were winning. Wouldn't it be funny if they go on a little losing streak here when I actually think they're playing better? And when they were winning, I thought they were playing like crap.
Yeah.
But I actually feel Carolina, to me, is a perfect example of a team. The way they're playing right now, in my opinion, is a postseason run waiting to happen. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to make it at this level
It'll probably stop at some point.
Way to the postseason. They're having their little run too early.
Or they might, and then they get to the postseason and it stops.
Plays the way he played, I think they have
the defense.
But he hasn't really done that. He certainly hasn't thrown the ball like that.
No, but I
he stinks, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of throwing the ball short, he just throws these missiles.
He was wildly inaccurate in that game.
They're dangerous. He's just dangerous.
He hit some wide open guys.
He
made some nice throws.
Some unbelievable
runs.
But
he made some
runs.
Really terrible ones, too.
Some unbelievable scrambles. I mean, that one, the 14-yarder, on third, I think it was like third and five or whatever, but just an incredible run.
He must have made four guys miss. Play of the week type on ESPN.
The one where he ran 75 yards to pick up 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Michael's on the line. Hey, Michael. Michael.
How are you going? Hey, how you doing?
I
got to
go.
Doing good. Well.
Yeah, I'm calling from Qatar. I've been writing in a bit, but
our first call from Qatar.
Oh.
I'm very excited.
I still like Qatar.
You can't argue with the guy from Qatar.
I do take Qatar, but then again, I'm Danish, so
okay.
Ooh, Danish. What have they ever done for the world except Danes? I mean, Danish.
All the women are quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see them. Ship me a Danish woman.
there you go. You brought it up, the Cam Newton's conversion, three times on a scramble. I mean, that was just killing it.
Yep.
So many missed tackles. Is there really anything that he can do to pick that up?
Nope. I think you would get better the more you see it. I mean, Bill Belichick talked about it last week. There's nobody that can really prepare for Cam Newton. He's a unique talent, and that was clearly a factor in the game. It's clearly something the Panthers utilize. The more you play that, I do think you'd get better. If you're Chandler Jones, if you're Rob Ninkovich, the more you see that speed, athleticism, change of direction, ability. But you don't. I mean, you're certainly not going to see it this week. This week, you go right back to the opposite, or the guy who's a statue back there. So, yeah, the only way to prepare for that is if you practice it against it every day.
And, you know, for the most part, they did a decent job of keeping Newton in the pocket, which is what you want to do. When he got away is when guys got behind him, and now he's got the open field. It's hard to do because, you know, the temptation is just to get at him any way you can, but you got to be more controlled against quarterbacks like that.
All right, I think we can all agree on the non-call on the last play was awful, but it kind of lets Ridley off the hook for the fumble. And just wondering what you guys think of his long-term plans with the Patriots. Are they going to keep him off his rookie contract?
It's a good question, Mike.
I think he's petering out.
You know, what do you do with Ridley going forward this year? Forget about long-term contracts. What do you do now?
Well, you still have to use him.
He's still your best player at that position.
I agree with that, but geez.
But to me, I'm less ready to say he's my lead back and he's going to get whatever the bulk of the – however you term it. I am more ready to say I just can't. I just can't do it. When every game I play – is a one-score game, essentially. I can't give away the plays that you're giving people.
You know, somebody said on the radio the other day that, you know, so far this season he's had three lost fumbles, four overall or something like that, which a lot of running backs have, but not per carry. I mean, remember, every time he fumbles, he's out of the game, which limits his carries. You know, he doesn't have as many carries as most lead backs do.
Right. He doesn't have nearly the number he was on. I mean, he was 290 last year.
Yeah. Actually, though, the last time he fumbled was Pittsburgh. They put him back in.
No, I know. They did put him in that one.
That was on a catch.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. But this one, to me, was just soft. A very, very soft. He had his elbow up a little bit and out and just allowed a guy to tap it out.
Yeah.
And it's too repetitive. I'm sorry. This is who he is. This goes back to college. He's going to have fumbles. He hasn't been able to cure it. And I have other options.
Right.
Shane Vereen is back.
Right.
Brandon Bolden was apparently a healthy scratch if you go by the letter of the law on the injury report.
Yes.
Even though we know he's dealing with something.
Right.
And I thought Blunt ran well.
He did.
So I'm sorry. I have options. I can't just say you're my guy and allow you to turn the ball over in the red zone and cost us games.
Yeah. And the fact that Vereen was involved so quickly in that game too tells me that they are content to spread the wealth around when possible.
It's a waste of talent. It really is. I mean, I don't know what to do.
It also that last play doesn't necessarily let him off the hook either, because
no.
If he doesn't fumble, if they do go in and end up scoring a touchdown, which they seem to be on their way to doing,
that's the difference.
That game is a tie going in at the end there, and you kick a field goal and you win the game.
Right.
You don't even have the last play.
Butterfly effect, obviously. A lot of things would happen.
Obviously, but
it would be a big difference.
It would have been a difference in the end outcome of the game.
Yep.
You just can't let turnovers in the red zone, cheap fumbles. He didn't get lit up.
Yep.
There was no, remember a week ago, Belichick was saying, you know, that was a good play by Troy Polamalu. He knew, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
There's none of that. This was a soft-ass fumble in the red zone.
And then he's on his knees, like, on the middle of the field.
Well, he doesn't try to fumble.
I know, but I don't want to see that either. Just get off the field. Get off the field.
Oh, so he shouldn't be upset?
I don't want him kneeling in the middle of the field. Enough of that.
I'm jumping ship on the criticism here.
Yeah,
the guy's upset. This is weighing on him. He probably knows this is hindering his career. This could alter the trajectory of his career here and or elsewhere.
Elsewhere too.
This isn't just one fumble in the red zone. This is a career changing pattern.
Get off the field. Craig's in New Brunswick.
Get off the
mic. Craig. Hey, Craig.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Fred and Andy, Paul, and Eric. I was able to watch the game for the first game this year. I stayed home sick. Unfortunately, I lost the base wage and watched the Patriots lose. I think it was a blown call at the very end. Now, I want your opinion on the McCourty call that was called for pass interference, where McCourty had his both arms out saying, hey, come on, guys, look at this guy's offensive pass interference should have been the play. What do you guys think? Well,
it was a smart play by the receiver to kind of lock him in there.
Yep.
And, you know, it was a veteran play, and McCourty got caught in it.
I bet you there's nobody on earth who likes that better, even though it hurt him, than Bill Belichick.
Right. Because
that was a true veteran, cerebral play.
And he got called for holding.
Right.
It wasn't pass interference.
Ironically, since he was being held.
And he actually, McCourty saw it coming, which was why he made an exaggerated effort to put both hands out to show that I'm not holding the player.
I actually do think he started to hold him, and then when he realized that Olsen was going to hold him holding him,
he tried to stop
holding him and put his hands up.
Which was a veteran move by McCourty, I thought. Except the refs gave the offense the benefit of the
doubt. It was a very interesting play to watch, because I do give Olsen a lot of credit. I think it was a really good job by him.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Patriots, I mean, we see our guys do the same thing. We try to sell the play as much as we can. We like to get the penalty to go in our favor. The other issue I had was our defensive line. When you have four guys going after Cam Newton and they can't hold him, you know, I remember 07 when we had guys after Eli Manning. We had them in their grasp, and Manning still threw a long shot. Like, I think there's a problem with our defensive line right there, where we can't hold guys. We can't make a tackle. Obviously, Arrington jumped. Missed given, but you know, our whole defense, that's the issue. And when we play against the Broncos, you know, obviously Peyton Manning is an awesome quarterback, talented quarterback. Our defensive line has to be up. We have to rush continually to get Manning off his game, out of the pocket. And the other thing was, is Cam Newton such an athlete? He looked at him 3rd and 7, and he runs 14 yards, you know. Is there a way that, you know, that's our linebacker's responsibility to stop him in the midfield, or what do you guys say about that?
Yeah, it's you just can't let him get out of the pocket. That's the problem, because, you know, the longer the play goes, the more spread out the linebackers get, because they're covering, and, you know, you have to keep him in the pocket. He's got more, the longer the play goes, there's more open field in front of him.
And they were doing a lot of man-to-man coverage. I don't know if on that specific play they were in man, but they're Patriots are primarily a man team.
That's what makes him dangerous.
I mean,
you know, that's why he's so hard to stop, Craig, is because of that ability. And,
but he's also unique.
Yeah.
You're not going to play that
really. I can live with him doing that a few times a game. You just can't make the mistakes the Patriots made.
And you're getting the opposite this week. The Patriots' defensive line has no fear of the quarterback moving this week.
Right.
You should get pressure because their offensive line isn't very good, but I'm not sure you're going to be able to cover. The defensive line could play a very good game this week, and it might not matter because of the issues in the back end.
It's almost the exact opposite.
Yep.
We'll take one more call, then we'll take a break, then we'll get to all the emails that are coming in. Joel's in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Fred, how's everything?
Good.
Hey, you sound a little sick today. You sick?
No, well, maybe sick and tired of these referees, but that's I'm fine.
You sound kind of stuffed up.
Because he's full of poo.
I have a few things for you guys. The last drive, the receiving core that was in on the last drive, you guys didn't have a problem with just having, it was Gronk, it was Amendola, it was Edelman, it was Chamberlain. I believe that's it.
Not at all.
No, I don't. I mean, these young guys have struggled in the offense at times this year, been yelled at. You had Kembrell Tompkins, who was a healthy scratch just a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, inactive. I mean, I think they went with the guys that they could trust. We even saw it. Remember when Austin Collie was on the field, whatever game that was, where they brought Austin Collie in, and he was the more reliable option? Because I think they're not quite ready to say that Tompkins and Dobson are ready to run. And I know they did it. I know Tompkins obviously made the play against New Orleans, but I think they have some questions as to the guys they can trust to run an actual hurry-up, two-minute, end-of-game comeback drill.
But you don't think, having your speed receivers in there, you know you have to go 80 yards to get a touchdown? Wouldn't that make sense to have at least Dobson? I mean, I know Dobson did come into the game when they got closer to the red zone.
Right.
Yeah, Dobson's fast, but he's no faster than Edelman.
Yeah, and Edelman is a better runner than pretty much anybody you have on your roster in terms of after catch, that knack he has of breaking a tackle and making people miss like he does as a punt returner. And the other thing I would argue, I mean, they did what they needed to do.
Right, and they knew the play, they had a series of calls that they were going to make, they knew, on that drive. I don't think any of them called for, fly patterns.
Right, but they did what they needed to. They drove the length of the field and they put the ball in the end zone with the chance to win the game.
Right.
It didn't work out. Because of some extenuating circumstances, but they didn't fail to put the drive together.
And remember, if Vereen had caught that one ball over his shoulder, that's a different drive, too.
Bless his heart, I was sick after that, because that was a chance for him to make that play that elevates him from good guy to superstar. Like, wow, you have a running back that can make that kind of play with the game on the line?
It was a tough catch over the
shoulder. Oh, no, it wasn't. Catch the damn ball.
It was
catch the ball.
The pass was perfect.
Catch the ball.
But that's a tough catch over your shoulder like that.
Catch the ball.
Oh, come on, Andy. That's a
you have him dubbed Marshall Faulk. Catch the ball.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I love Shane Vereen as much as anyone and have defended him endlessly for 3 years. He needs to make that catch if he's going to be the superstar I think he can be.
Kevin, let's take a break. And we'll be right back with your emails here in PFW in Progress.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
right.
They do.
But it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, we're talking about the Carolina Panthers game. Don't forget, we've got this Broncos game. How could you? Coming up. We'll get to that probably tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to have time today because a lot to talk about on that game. But let's get to some of the emails that are coming in at webradio@patriots.com. Travis in Collierville, Tennessee, starts it. I said, I saw they talk about the cover of PFW on NFL.com. Way to go, guys. Listeners, subscribe to the paper if you haven't already. A great Christmas present, ladies.
That's true.
That's true.
Nice little stocking stuffer. I believe Carol Hardy, our circulation manager, even has little gift cards you can send.
1-800-494-PATS.
Indeed.
Yep.
PFWOnline.com.
Or download the subscription for iPad, Patriots Football Daily. So.
Especially, that'll be an exceptionally good gift after Christmas. Yeah. Sure, there'll be a lot of iPads, iPad minis. What is it? The iPad Air is the name now.
The new iPad.
When they get those on the 25th, the 26th, make sure you go to the iTunes store and get Patriots Football Daily.
Right. Dan the Byman says about the game, is not every turnover in the final 2 minutes reviewable?
Yeah, but pass interference is not reviewable.
No, but they would have.
The review would come if he didn't catch it.
They're reviewing the turnover, they're not reviewing the penalty.
And there was no need to review the actual turnover because the game was over.
Yeah.
And pass interference is not reviewable, so there's nothing to review on the play.
Jacob from Denmark, Paul, I have newfound respect for you because you're right, the refs suck. From the new rule about pushing a teammate on a field goal block, which is also poorly communicated by the rest of the field, to the Saints game where they made at least three huge mistakes, and now this happens, how on earth can that not be a penalty?
It is a penalty. They're just covering their asses.
Tony in Toronto, the call was bad, and the way in which the aftermath has been handled is terrible, but my lingering thought is how impressed I am in the offense's performance against the number one defense. They had a lot of success moving up and down the field, and I think Brady had his best game of the year, in my opinion, and I actually feel better about this offense moving forward, even against the physical teams that the teams will face. This is a rather timely development since the defense now sucks again.
Yep. Last 2 weeks, Brady's two highest completion percentages of the season. The first time we said, oh, well, Pittsburgh sucked. They didn't cover anybody. You don't make that excuse this week. You played a good defense, and Brady was on. The offense was on.
Indiana Matt from Richmond, Indiana, says Trent Dilfer said this week that the NFL is more popular than ever, but the product sucks. Looks like Andy, as always, is ahead of the curve.
Thank you.
No wonder he has a big head. It has to hold his big brain. Makes me wonder what other things he is right about. Not much.
Hey.
I was right
about the score to this game.
Really?
I said 24-20.
The other way.
No, I had Panthers 24-20.
Oh, did you?
You don't read the six-pack?
Oh, so then you were right.
That hurts. Well, no, I said 23-20.
Oh, you said 23.
But that hurts. You don't read the six-pack?
No.
Why don't you read the six-pack? You might learn something for curse words if you read the six-pack.
I said 2017 Patriots, and for a while it was 2017 Patriots. They couldn't hold on.
Nope.
Gentlemen, says Daryl, if that wasn't pass interference due to uncatchability, then why wouldn't Belichick just have the defensive backs tackle the receivers on every play? I mean, as long as you have the linebackers in underneath coverage, you could always claim uncatchability, right? So as soon as the ball's in the see, that's the thing. Don't go with that explanation because it's the wrong explanation.
Ridiculous.
It's a terrible explanation. So
ignore the officials.
Steve in Killeen, Texas, when a judgment call can impact the result of a game, would it not be in the best interest of everyone to check the replay to ensure the proper call is made, or is it just me?
No. Can't do it. I mean, can you imagine
Somebody
if judgment calls are now reviewable?
Yeah, somebody talked about pass interference being reviewable.
And is it on the last play of the game? Is it in the last 2 minutes, the last 5 minutes? How do you do it?
Right.
And it's both ways. So now both coaches are looking at every play because defensively you can argue it was either offensive pass interference or it wasn't really defensive pass interference. And the opposite for the offense is always looking for a pass interference somewhere, an illegal contact. I mean, we don't want to go down that road. We got screwed. It was a bad call, but we don't want to go down that road.
The NFL will naturally cover for the refs that much was expected, but when a call is turned into a no call, then it takes 2 hours to get a statement from the ref. I call BS on that, as did the announcers who were former players, and even the opposing fans knew the Patriots got hosed. I know Patriots Nation as a whole is pissed, and rightly so. Oh, and for the fans who say we should have never been in this position, I would cite the Saints game as the perfect reference as to why we play the full 60 minutes. Finally, Denver at home this coming Sunday had better have their hats strapped on tight, because I do not see that game coming down to the last minute call at the end. P.S. If our Kevin had been at the game, I had him covered on bail money.
Yeah. Bail money?
Wow.
I don't like the argument that the Patriots didn't lose the game on that call. There were so many other things. Well, that's stupid. So did they really lose the Saints game? Because Brady threw an ugly pick on the drive before he threw the touchdown pass. So they really didn't win that game because they lost it. No, you play till the very end. You can make mistakes throughout, but if you have a chance to pull it out and pull it out, you won the game. And they had a chance to pull it out there and got hosed.
You could say that the good plays got them to the position to be able to win
right.
the game.
They had a chance to win that game, and the refs took it away. I also do give Brady a sliver of blame here, a little sliver, because I think he gave them the sliver of an out. If he hits Gronkowski, if he puts that ball more in the general area of Kuechly and Gronkowski,
right.
then they don't have an out. They can't
right.
possibly take the out.
Right.
So he admitted it. It wasn't right. his best throw.
Terry in D.C. says, we will meet these guys again in February, and we will kick their ass. That is all.
That's what I said to you. Next 2 weeks, we have the preview of the Super Bowl and a preview of the AFC title game.
Jacob in Denmark, defense is not as good as in the beginning of the season, but give me a team that can survive this amount of injuries. In the final quarter of the Panthers game, there were six starters not playing, Wolfric, Mayo, Kelly, Gregory, Dennard, and Tlaib. Taking that into account, I'm very happy about our defensive play. I'm concerned.
Yeah, and you should be concerned, yeah. especially this week. You may be able to Band-Aid it after this week and do some different things, but you couldn't be in a much worse position than you are this week with so much uncertainty in your secondary game coming up against this offense with so many weapons.
Lyndon in Colton, California. Mike Pereira was on Dan Patrick's podcast this morning and brought up an interesting point regarding the last play of the game. If I understood it correctly, this is the gist of what he said. Since the last play was a turnover, it should have gone to replay. One thing that could have been reviewed was the timing of the interception. Did it occur before, after, or simultaneously with the defender's contact with Gronk? Since the contact happened before the interception, the initial call on the field should have been upheld. So in a roundabout way, the PI call could have been reviewed. On a side note, is Andy growing up? On the pregame social, he said dink and sack in the same sentence without laughing at himself.
No, I just was off my game that day, I guess.
Allen says the Patriots ran the ball very well when they brought in their heavy package in the third quarter. Do you see them doing more of this against the Broncos to keep the Broncos' offense off the field? Allen's in Austin.
You could. I mean, you certainly would like to keep it away
yeah.
from Manning in that offense. So that's
I really think, you know, I know we said we'd talk about the Broncos game a lot tomorrow, but I really think the Patriots have to take some chances on defense and just, you know, whether it's blitzing or whatever, but the secondary needs help. They need that help up front, and Manning's going to score his points. I'd rather go down swinging.
But if you take chances, you could just give him easy big plays.
Fine. You know, I just think that he's going
to... So you don't have confidence that you can get there with just Jones, Ninkovich, Chris Jones, whatever, that your rush can do.
Not in time. What I'm saying, I think eventually they would, but I want to get to him fast. I want every play for him to have to hurry. And he's going to burn you a few times. Absolutely.
Especially like...
And then I say my offense just has to keep up. But I want to take some chances. I really want to get in his head right off the bat. Just let him know from the beginning, we're coming at you every freaking play.
The one positive we should say is early weather reports are for cold and wind.
All the better.
So, well, sort of.
Yeah.
Because that's going to hurt your passing game that you
it
now
is.
Think is back.
Yeah.
But yeah, early weather reports is this could be a, you need a little snow, Fred, because I think that gets in his head. Even though he'd never admit it, I still say snow gets in his head.
Brian, it seems to me that the refs cannot take the fact that this was potentially the last play of the game into account. In that case, why shouldn't the penalty be called simply because Gronk was not given a chance to break up a potential interception? If the refs believe he couldn't catch the ball, couldn't he potentially have made a play on it? What if the ball was tipped up in the air instead of caught? The foul occurred before the ball reached the safety. Many things could have occurred besides the potential to catch the ball as it was thrown at its given trajectory. Refs are not supposed to be clairvoyant. Oh, that's the other thing. It's ridiculous.
Bottom line is they blew the call. We don't need to describe it in any other way than they blew the call.
Alex says, I'm really disappointed in the team after the loss. Why does the defense decide not to show up on third and long? Conversions have been happening all season. As for Arrington, cut him. Enough said. Now for Brady. He finally played a good game against a physical defense. It has been a long time since he has, and the team needs a Tom Brady that decides to show up against physical defenses in the playoffs. Dobson had a great game. No drops. I see continued improvement.
That had a negative tone to it.
Yeah.
Show up.
Yeah. Let's see. Lee, LL in South Dakota. I thought Talib was hurt. It appeared he limped during the first scuffle with Smith just before he fell down with his teammate and coach. He also came up weird on the pass that was behind Smith that he got his hands on toward the end of the game.
Yes. I think that's where he might. But wouldn't it be a kick in the nuts if he got hurt fighting? If that's what aggravated it, and then it kind of got even more aggravated later, that'd be a kick in the nuts. Although I loved it. I don't know where you felt on this. Paul and I sort of argued this. I loved it. I loved the swagger, the energy. Did they take it too far?
Yes.
Yes, but the reason it got taken too far is because Steve Smith is also an a-hole also a Napoleon complex guy.
Two piranhas in a fishbowl.
He took it too far when he ran in the backfield to say something to Newton after I think it was like the first pass defense.
Right.
But to me, he was every bit in Jimmy Graham's mug and being a little dirty in that game.
Sure.
But Jimmy Graham wilted and kind of shied away from it, whereas Steve Smith will never wilt.
No.
We actually predicted on the pregame social, I don't know if you know, there'd be a fight.
Really?
Because we knew these two guys are edgy
and
a-holes.
By the way, I have no problem with what Steve Smith said after the game. Ice up, son. I mean, he won. They were trash talking. He has the right to trash talk after the game.
Yep.
I thought that was all in fair play. And,
yep. I loved it. The other issue we should mention that's a post game type issue is the what looked to be a leg whip by Marcus Cannon on Johnson that sent him to the sideline for a quarter or so, and then he returned late. But it actually looked like a severe. He got carted off and then came back.
And then he came back.
That was a leg whip, according to Johnson. Cannon apologized postgame, came to him, sought him out, but Ron Rivera was talking about he was very upset by it. I guess he actually like broke a leg or during his playing career on a leg whip, so he's very sensitive to that call himself. And so I think Cannon could get a fine out of that, even though nothing was called on the field. That was a cheap play. I don't necessarily say he meant to hurt him, but the play that occurred was a cheap play. He whipped that leg around.
Fred, we all love you, says Michael, but why do you say Blunt as Blount and McCourty as McCurdy? I don't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's see. Isaac says, it's 4:30 here in Oz.
Ike!
I had to wake up just to hear what you all thought about the game. I'm so glad that you all have the same bad taste in your mouth as I do. When it happened, all I could ask was, all I could think was, Perillo's going to be mad. Crying about it now is not going to change anything. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. How do you feel about the rest of the season? Could we win it all?
I believe we could. I now believe that the offense is back and you have a slimmer of hope. I don't think it's going to be easy, and I don't think this team is great, but in the league you're in, and with the best team in the American Football Conference having a history of sort of choking under Manning, that they've done this sort of best team and then one and done or whatever, I think you have hope because I don't fear anybody else in the AFC, and who do I fear? I mean, Seattle, I guess, is the best in the NFC. But guess what? They don't get to play at home.
This is going to be a great game coming up. I'm excited.
Yeah, I hope it is.
You know, yeah.
I have my fears.
It could get out of
secondary.
Control real fast. It really could.
I have the fears that you could see another Manning 7 TD performance.
Again, I really think that the Patriots need to take some chances and put this guy on his butt early and often, and take your shots. Take your shots. Do not play your typical, drop guys in coverage and that type of thing. I think you just bring the heat. Bring the heat.
And does a guy like Isaac Sopawaga maybe, fall down on a running play and accidentally roll into Manning?
Nothing dirty. Nothing dirty. I thought you were going to say maybe he doesn't play as much, which could be the case.
Oh, no, that would be serious. Yeah. I was kidding. Because they were remarkable what they did to Manning last week. There was no sign of an injury. So whatever they injected in that ankle and taped up, good job.
You know, because Paul was like, high ankle sprain, he's not playing. Well, he played.
Well, do you remember the week earlier when he looked like he could barely walk off the field?
Yeah.
I mean, and then he didn't practice on Wednesday.
I know.
And then all of a sudden you literally could not tell he was injured.
I told Paul he's Peyton Manning.
Well, Paul's always wrong.
He doesn't miss games. Marco says, I still have that feeling of disgust because of the bad call by the refs, but I decided not to think about that anymore as a general result of the game. I think the offense took a big step forward. The general operation of the offense was great, putting good and long drives together. I also saw Brady with more confidence, spreading the ball all over the field. At least I saw more people making catches, Dobson, Gronk, Amendola, Tompkins, Edelman, Hooman, Vereen, Ridley. Now our defense. I really think we have a big problem. It's disappointing knowing that at the start of the season it looked very solid, and now we have regressed considerably. We're still 7-3. We're going to get to the playoffs. Let's hope we get in a streak and hope this game doesn't get to our guys in a negative way. And for my final comment, God, I hate when a team behaves like the effing Panthers. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. I'm so, though, and vocal, and I cheer for your failure more than my success, guy. It's overrated. I don't know. I just hate that. I hate my son see this attitude from a player and him to think that this is the way of playing the game. What does he mean by that?
I didn't really get it. I know. I'm guessing Cam Newton rubbed people the wrong way. He did a lot of celebrating and was really bouncing, and I didn't mind it. To me, it was the energy that he's a different kind of guy. He's not going to be Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. He's not your executive quarterback. He's an athletic quarterback who wants to have fun with the game, make plays, and do his Superman celebration. I like energy. It's a game. It's supposed to be fun. I'm supposed to hate the other quarterback, just like he's supposed to hate my defensive back who's getting in his mug. This game is better with personalities. It shouldn't be blandified.
Chester in Portland, just want to say I was dead wrong about the Carolina Panthers. Before the game, I called into the pregame social saying that the Panthers were somewhat of a fraud in seeing their fairly weak schedule thus far, along with the thought that Belichick and Brady would outwit this young team. I was wrong. The Panthers team came to play and are certainly for real. I mostly blame Ridley's fumble for this loss. It was like bad deja vu seeing him cough it up at a critical time. Kudos to my boy Blunt for picking up the slack and having a nice game running the football. The good news here is no AFC divisional ramifications, so inward to Denver we go, or onward. I'm looking forward to seeing what this team is made of. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Brent, it was great to see Vereen back. The one concern is that on the over-the-shoulder throw at the end of the game that he dropped, perfect pass from Brady, he tried to catch it with his left hand, the casted one, and he couldn't pull it in. I think that will get better with time as he gets used to the cast. Did he have a cast on?
He had a thing. I don't think it was a cast. Yeah. He had something he was wearing. I just think he dropped it. And that may get better over time. I mean, that's one of those plays in the moment, in the heat of the moment. That's one of those things you can't replicate necessarily in practice. But I'm just disappointed. That was a chance for him to make a big play, and he dropped the ball.
Aaron says defensive holding or pass interference on Gronkowski, whatever it was, a flag was thrown and therefore a penalty call should have been issued. Whether the ball would have been placed on the Panthers 1 for pass interference or on the 13 for holding, let the players play and hash it out. If the Pats come up short, so be it, but I'm sick and tired of these refs dictating the pace of the game. Also, if the Patriots defeat Denver, are they in prime position for the first seed in the AFC? And it's my estimation that the Patriots will have a close game, but in the end, they will beat Denver because they're going into Sunday night with a chip on their shoulder after Monday's loss due to that egregious non-call.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Do you think that in a way they can use this game to their benefit, the Patriots?
Not really.
No?
No. Certainly not enough to overcome the actual physical problems with health and players on the field.
Doesn't get him mad, though. Play with intensity on defense.
Great. So Nate Ebner will be more jacked up when he takes the field. He's still Nate Ebner. This couple little sprinkled in notes is interesting. The Patriots are not only underdogs at home, but underdogs for 2 weeks in a row, which I don't know the last time that happened, but it's rare.
Wow.
I know the last time they were underdog at home, it was against Peyton Manning's Colts. It was, I don't know, a while ago.
Yeah. Jason writes in, I'm oddly zen about this loss. I think it's going to usher in a renewed defense for the Patriots. Knowing how much Bill will play by the rules, I can see the first play of the Denver game where the corners just push the receivers beyond their marks and pick off the passes since the ball will be obviously underthrown. Patriots win 118-0, and Manning has a Sanchez-like passer rating. In all seriousness, I can accept the loss. I think the team wasn't able to contain Newton, and that was the X factor. Saw it when they played Kaepernick last year and Newton this year. And from what I can tell, the elite mobile quarterbacks are in the NFC. Newton, Kaepernick, Wilson. I just don't see any on the AFC side to stop us from getting to the Super Bowl. Also, I'm encouraged by the fact that the last few games, the coaching has adjusted much better. Miami, Pittsburgh, and Carolina games, the second half they played much better. I think that can lead to stronger wins and a higher slot in the Wilson-Hart Index. Looking forward to Sunday night in the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. Jason and Andy's mom, I mean Wisconsin.
That is not okay.
No? let's see. Ray in Stratford, Connecticut. few quick related and non-related points after the last game. One, Fred, they'll be fine, or they'll be fine.
I don't get it.
Oh, one's an exclamation, the other's a question mark.
Oh, well, which one is it, Fred? Sounds like you have a question mark
they'll
on the end.
They'll be fine?
That's what sounds like you're starting
about the defense, yeah.
Well, no, about the team. Don't break it up.
Well, yeah, I worry about
they'll be
about,
fine or they'll be fine.
I worry about the defense.
So they're done.
Anger management.
No, come on.
Three, offense proved they could stand up against the top defense. I think that's true.
True that.
The show you guys had a while ago about the discipline of parents was great. My father worked at a lumber yard, so my mother had an endless supply of yardsticks to break. Five, how was bikinis? Thought you would have brought that up already. And six, did Eldridge from North Carolina show up in his Camaro? No, he didn't.
I think he called the pregame social.
Yeah.
I think he thought he was going to give you a ride like at the game.
No.
He's like, I had to park damn near 20 miles away, and I haven't even found Fred yet. Blah, 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 blah.
No, at bikinis the night before.
How was that?
It was good.
Were they hot or a little?
There was one that was just outrageously cute.
But did she have bazookas in her bikini?
They put on Patriots jerseys for the night.
Oh, what the hell?
I know.
Your place is called Bikinis, and you cover it up with a Patriots jersey?
I think the organizer of the Patriots fan club, because there were a lot of kids
there. Oh, it's the girl, Christina, right?
No, Todd King.
I thought Christina was the girl from the Triangle Patriots
fan
club.
Yeah, this was the North Carolina Patriots
fan club. Oh, not the Triangle.
No, this was the North Carolina Patriots.
Oh, I'm not familiar with them.
Yeah.
I'm loyal to the Triangle.
But it was a good showing. Antoine Harris was there, showing off his Super Bowl rings.
Sweet feet? Yeah. Was he a jerk?
No, he's fine.
Oh. So he's cleaned it up since he stopped playing?
He was there with his kids and his wife.
He was not one of the nicer Patriots to come through this locker room over the years.
No?
No. Not an overly good guy. How many people were there? What kind of numbers you have?
The bar was full. I wouldn't say everyone was a Patriots fan, but I'd say about 100 Patriots fans.
No, Eric, of course.
Eric wasn't
he blew
there.
It off.
For some reason.
There were girls there.
For some reason, you know, we got there at 5 o'clock into North Carolina. And Eric was a little confused as to when it was. You know, so I don't understand how that is. It's at night. I mean, what else would it be?
Had it been called Grape Smugglers, he would have been there.
Oh! let's see. Thomas writes in, I don't know what to think about the game Monday. I will say I feel good about the offensive side of the ball, if and only if our line can protect Brady. Why don't they switch Connolly and Wendell? In addition, we have to pause when it comes to defensive side of the ball. I want to see what the D will look with all our players back in the secondary. Aside from Cam Scramble, the front seven did a good job stopping the run.
Yep.
I feel our linebackers are our Achilles heel, too big and slow. I really would like to see a 3-4 with Chandler, Soapy, Chris Jones, and Collins, and Nink outside. What do you think?
Well, they've been doing
a lot of
3-4.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what they've been doing.
In their 3-4, Ninkovich and Chandler Jones are outside linebackers, right? Hightower and Spikes are in the middle. Sopawaga is the nose tackle. Jones and Villano are the ends.
Right.
He had Collins in there somewhere. He was moving somebody.
Yeah.
They did a very good job against the run. The Panthers, their three running backs all were under 3 yards a carry. The production got swayed, obviously, because Cam Newton had 62 yards. And the bulk of that came on two plays. He had that 24-yarder, and then he had the 14-yarder. So that's 38 of 62 yards came on two carries for him. But I'm not sure that's that big of an issue this week. I mean, you need to stop the pass.
Right.
If they want to run Noshon Marino, it's the old Paul Perillo.
Go ahead. Thank you
very much, and keep running him.
Right.
Plus, he fumbles. No, ball fumbles.
Drew in Bowie, Maryland, as fans, we have the luxury of dwelling on the past. The call was so obviously wrong and the explanation so thin that I have to believe there were motivations for it. A, not that the game was fixed, but a convenient way to promote the Panthers, or more likely, B, the officials feared for their safety. Seems to happen too often that home teams get late calls. Fortunately, Brady, Belichick, and Gronk seem to be moving on with their comments. I'm still stuck. Maybe this will help me.
Now, do you really think they fear for their safety?
Because
that happens in, like, high school football.
Yeah, not in NFL. They're like, if it was one of those South America soccer games,
right.
Oh, yeah.
But even high school football, I've seen a lot of specials on, like, HBO and Real Sports, where high school games can get out of hand because they're, you know, the crowd is right there. You're not in stands. You know, you have the ability to get right on the field or follow a guy to his car. I just don't really think NFL officials legitimately fear for their life.
Jay has some interesting stats. Stephen Ridley averages one fumble every 82.5 carries, better than Peterson, 64.4, Lynch, 75.7, Charles, 51.1, Gore, 63.7, Spiller, 36.7, and Reggie Bush, 37.4. Career fumble rate, Kevin Falk, 2.89%, one per every 34.6 carries. Stephen Ridley is 1.21, one per every 82.5 carries. So why does it still seem to me that Ridley can't hold on to the ball? I feel like I'm getting a prostate exam every time a tackler closes in on him.
Well, A, that doesn't take into account. Does it take into account the ones that he, like, remember the one out of bounds? Like, there's a couple that didn't.
Well, he fumbled also in Buffalo. He fumbled twice in Buffalo, only lost one.
Right.
You know?
So I don't know if that's taking into account those. The second thing is Kevin Falk had a fumbling problem that he cleaned up. So that number is a career number.
Right.
What would it have been at the end of his career after he had cleaned it up? I mean, I think we all still hold out hope that Ridley can do what Tiki Barber and Kevin Falk and those guys did, fix it. Right?
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson has been much better fumbling now than he was, whatever that season was down the stretch and into the postseason where he was fumbling all the time. And they were thinking it was going to be like a career-altering problem for him. And he has cleaned that up a little bit.
Sean from Petaluma, California.
Petaluma.
Can't help but be optimistic after Monday night.
That's right.
Despite the loss, we seem to be progressing and will be a tough out against anyone in the playoffs. Let's get healthier and keep it rolling, and who knows where the chips may fall.
Why am I the one that listeners have to align themselves with, Fred? You're worried. Paul doesn't feel any better. Why am I Mr. Positive on this show? There's something wrong with this show when I'm Mr. Positive.
On another note, I'm excited to say that I'm making the trek out from California in my first ever Pats game at Gillette this Sunday. I always wanted to do it and finally made it happen this year. I'm getting married in the spring and bringing my fiancée with me. Needless to say, it will be once-in-a-lifetime experience. Can't wait to be amongst thousands of other Patriots fans facing off against Peyton in the cold in New England at night. So that it'll be electric. I can tell you that much.
Just an interesting note, and I don't know the answers to this, but the Patriots were going to make Stadium Vice President Jim Nolan available to the media today, because I guess there has been a lot of questions about a cold weather game and what you're allowed to bring in and the clear bag policy and
same
all that.
Same freaking thing that you're allowed to bring in every other game.
Why are you yelling?
Why are you getting angry? Different. There's no difference in the rule.
So you can bring blankets?
Yeah, but you just can't put them in a bag.
Right.
You know?
Does that hold true for a gun? As long as the gun's not in a bag.
No.
As long as your gun is out in the open.
John in South Carolina, as you may have figured out from my signature, I live in South Carolina, and I've been impressed by the Panther fans. If they were the Jets fans, they would be jumping up and down and acting like they dominated us. Almost every Panthers fan I work with has said, y'all got screwed. Many of them don't even feel like they won as much as they were given a gift. Not one person has talked crap to me. So we were screwed, the refs blew the call, and the NFL covered it up. But hats off to the Panthers for not acting like a bunch of Jets fans. Lastly, I'm joining Paul in feeling like the Denver game is hopeless. I just don't know how we win the game with both Tlaib and Dennard out.
You don't. But just because the Denver game is hopeless does not mean the season is hopeless. Yeah. Right? You could lose the game and win the war.
And we don't know that Tlaib's out.
No, we do not. Well, technically, we don't know that Tlaib, Gregory, Dennard, I mean, they were all on the field today.
Yeah.
So technically, we won't know it until at least Friday or Sunday.
Sean, West Palm Beach, why are we talking about Kyle Arrington every week? It's maddening. Horrible tackling again by this guy. I can't figure out why we still pay him. Help, Andy. We need a defensive back.
We do need a defensive back. There's no help on the way, just so you know. This is not. I know fans and Paul brought up Asamoah. I don't know that he has. He's really kind of fallen off the map here. And is he a man corner, Fred? Why am I asking you?
What's that?
Is Asamoah a man corner?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah. He was, he's come off. Like, when he was with the Raiders for a while, he was.
That's what he.
What? He was one of the higher free agents at the
time.
No,
no, no, I know.
Yeah.
And then he went to Philadelphia. And all the criticism out of Philadelphia was they misplayed him. Either he was a zone corner they forced into man, or a man corner they forced into zone.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, because we're primarily a man team right now that plays a lot of man coverage. Yeah. Paul Perillo's coming through the door. He will answer the question for me. Is Asamoah a man corner who was screwed in Philly by playing zone, or a zone corner who was screwed in Philly by playing man?
First one.
Yeah, so he's a man corner in Oakland.
Oh, bring him in then. We've been playing a lot of man.
We've been playing almost exclusively man, right?
Where I said, Fred, is he a man or a zone corner? And I said, why am I asking you?
No, I reminded him.
And he reminded me that Asamoah was good when he was with Oakland. You know, I needed that reminder.
I don't know if he was good, but he was perceived.
No, he was very good, and this team thought he was good.
He was good in Oakland.
Yes, playing man.
Yeah.
So bring him back here and play man.
Yeah, that was the
problem. He's also the weird one. He wouldn't get along with Jonathan Martin. Remember, he eats lunch in his car.
The problem supposedly was that Philly was asking him to play too much zone and that wasn't playing to his strengths. But
the other problem was that at the point where they had an offensive line coach as a defensive coordinator?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yes. That's the other problem. That's a bigger problem.
But the other part of that is now, what happened in San Francisco? And what happened when you were out of work this year as a free agent? And
nobody wanted.
There was very little interest in San Diego. San Francisco just sort of took a flyer on him and he's out.
I don't mean to use cliches, but we're at that old beggars can't be choosers state.
Yeah, no,
or close to it.
I'm the
secondary.
One that brought it up. Do you take a run at Asamoah?
That's what I said. I gave you credit.
Yeah, no, I mean,
and then I couldn't remember whether he was owner man.
But here's
didn't have an answer.
What I would, I just want to add one thing to this. We just the locker room is still open. There's still some people.
Ooh, did you
around.
Get Ike?
No, we got Edelman. Edelman was the first option.
I'd rather have Ike.
Sopawaga was the second.
Because I wanted to take a picture.
I talked about burgers.
Which one's the nose tackle?
I love dicks as well. I love dicks as well.
Anyway.
And you love dicks as well. Sporting goods.
Yeah. Well, what do you think Edelman is talking about in that?
I don't know. Dick Stadium.
Right.
Not Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah, but wasn't it named after Dick's?
I thought it was D-I-X.
Oh, maybe it is.
I thought it was like...
I think it's a person.
Bill Dix.
Maybe it is D-I-X.
Mike Dix. Or
Dick Stadium.
So a lot of the players, milling into the locker room.
Dicks and Beavers get together. You never know what's going to happen.
All right. Geez.
Aqib Talib, Alfonso Dennard coming in the locker room with the rest of their teammates after practice. So we talked about, you wouldn't see Dennard out there the whole time. It looks like... He may have been out there.
So they're really taking the ruse to a new level.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe these guys are going to play. Now, clearly we know they're not going to be 100%, but maybe they're going to be able to play.
I don't know. How often is both the Boston Globe and Boston Herald dead wrong on a story?
Boy.
Definitively dead wrong.
This is like asking me, how often feel like the officials make a mistake?
Definitively dead wrong that he's not going to play Sunday and he's going to play.
Well, only one reported that he's definitely out for 2 weeks.
No, I think the other one said it too.
Well, the Herald said he's not playing Sunday.
And
the Globe said he's not playing beyond that.
Right.
So the Herald said that, too. Could miss time beyond that. Yesterday, the first report was the Herald that said he's going to be out on Sunday and could miss time beyond that. Today, I saw that the Globe said meniscus and is it going to be out Monday and possibly longer than that or whatever, Sunday.
That's always the first report. It's the Herald. You should know that.
But when are they both definitively wrong?
I'm not saying that he's going to play. I'm just saying maybe there's a chance.
In today's day and age is more chance than in the past because they just copy each other. I mean, everyone just...
Well, now this gets to the point where like they don't really have the source that they're saying they have.
Exactly.
That's just lying.
Exactly.
Then don't believe anything, I guess.
Jeffrey says, you have said your strong dislike for the Jets is rooted in your disdain for their fair weather fans. I, too, have developed a strong prejudice against the Broncos. But not because their fans are not loyal. They are delusional, and this week I have more proof. Broncos fans believe they are the perpetual victims of a vast East and West Coast conspiracy. While I like the area and the people, this neurosis has severely handicapped their sports acumen, making them juggernauts of homerism. Furthermore, their patriot envy and hatred of McDaniels has made it. I could detail many of their outrageous claims, but the point is exemplified this week by the graphical representations of the polls about the ending of the game Monday night. For example, on the four-letter network, outside of Carolina, only Colorado shows a majority of fans believing the referees made the right decision. The Patriots need to win this game just for the extraordinary stories it will generate and the epic Manning pout to follow. I'm all for that.
Yeah, that's why you want to win the game. You don't want to win it so you get another win and you get another step toward a bye. You want to do it so people in Colorado are upset.
Absolutely.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Alan says, I would typically agree with you about blitzing, but I don't know. Were you here when I said that about the blitzing?
No, but if you were saying that the Patriots need to blitz a little bit more,
I agree
with you.
I think they just need to just go for it.
I agree with you.
I watched the last Bronco game, and Manning was getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds. The blitz will not get there that quickly, and it will open up more holes in the secondary.
You know who won't get there that quickly? The regular pass rush. That's where I agree with Fred. We do not have that unstoppable edge pass rush. You know, we talked about the other day on the TV show that the Chandler Jones, a lot of his stuff comes in games or moving him around. This is a game where you need those guys right off the edge to just kill him, not even break stride, run right through that ankle.
Joel and
Paul, you'll be happy. He turned down. I said, you know, maybe there's a chance early in the game. Isaac Sopoaga, you know, on a run play, accidentally falls down and rolls into Manning's ankle, and Fred legitimately doesn't want that to happen, or at least he claims he doesn't.
No, I want his knee.
Huh?
I want his knee. We already have the ankles.
Please. You know how excited he'd be if that happened?
He would be.
Paul, come on now.
He would be. He'd look Fred. At you and he'd be like, oh, that's awful.
Exactly.
I'm not.
You would feign.
What do you think I am, Bill Polian?
You would feign disappointment.
You're worse.
You would feign disappointment.
Oh,
is what you would
terrible.
Do.
I want to beat them at their strongest.
He'd be blogging, ha ha.
Joel and Merrimack says, according to Ian Rappaport, Dennard is out for the Denver game.
Yes. That's off of the Herald and Globe reports. No,
so
but that's accurate.
Unreliable
the
source.
Herald and Globe reported that yesterday. I saw Ian reported it later.
Right, but he confirmed it.
Of course. Of course. Everybody confirms it after the fact. I'm with you on that one, Freddie.
John from
they all copy each other.
John from Winterport, Maine. Is it me or is Ridley ineffective? I can't stand how much he jukes.
Ridley
it's
is
you.
Ineffective? That's
it's you.
That's just you.
I can't stand how much he jukes. I feel like I'm watching a video game with how much he jukes instead of just looking for the opening and tearing it up. Top that off with his poor ball security, and I think Ridley is just not reliable.
Well, the last part is right.
That's a different argument.
The first part is wrong. He's their best running back. Now, that doesn't mean he deserves every opportunity moving forward because of the issues he has.
TG and NJ writes in, guys, what happens if the flag was never thrown?
The game is over.
Are we then complaining about a hold on Gronk that was never called?
Yes.
Is the argument of the NFL referee's legitimacy even taking place? This is just as bad as what the replacement refs did in Green Bay, and these are the guys who are supposed to know what they're doing. The next morning, I got a text from a friend that says, WTF, the NFL is becoming unwatchable. I'm starting to agree with him.
Why? Like, that's the part I don't get.
Well, there's 15.5 million people who disagree with you.
Like, why is it unwatchable? I'm sorry, there's bad calls. There's bad calls in all sports. Whether you believe, like Paul, it happens every snap, or like me, it happens with some regularity.
Just embrace
it. It doesn't ruin football.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go on Andy's side of the street. The bad football is what's ruining football.
Oh, did you hear? Trent Dilfer's on board now. Everybody's coming over to my side sooner or later. Bad football.
Regardless of
and he watches a lot of tape, you know. Nobody breaks it down more than Trent Dilfer.
Regardless of all the madness of the final play, I thought the Patriots lost the game when they only got a field goal in their previous scoring drive. It was third and goal within 10 yards, and they threw the ball. Bollocks, says TG. Run the ball. You got into the red area, running well against the vaunted Carolina defense. Keep doing what got you there.
It was third and one.
It was third and one from the eight.
Third and goal.
Yeah.
Third and goal from the 10 and you run the ball would be a ridiculous call the other way.
Yeah, it was third and one. I would have been fine if they had run the ball there. I would have had no problem. But to me, a lot of your run success, to me, it's just me speaking.
How many times are you going to say me? We understand it's you.
No, it's generated to me.
To me, just me speaking. To me.
In my opinion.
From my perspective.
If you're asking from this space. From my perspective,
now he's a blog. This space,
I think a lot of their run success is, you know, when the other team's not necessarily playing run, and on third and one, you're playing run. I think that the explanation that Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady gave, you know, they thought they were really biting hard on the play actions. They thought that was going to pop open,
and they played it loose.
I think that's a legitimate plan.
Sure,
I think that they were going to be geared up with, you know, 8 or 9 in the box to stop the run. And it was certainly, I think, well-reasoned to think that they were going to have a guy pop wide open on that third and one play.
Brady said they wanted
Devlin to walk in. It was going to have a walk-in touchdown, and they covered it.
You know how giddy I would have been had Devlin had a walk-in touchdown?
Oh, my God, it would have been even worse than the Tolbert loss.
That would have been awesome.
We'll finish up here with...
How are those Terrapins doing?
Michelle,
you know there's a guy
loves
coming
it when
in,
I
right?
call a
bowl eligible.
Fred, are you just going to ignore the other voice that's on the show?
No, when I get to the crossover, I will do that. So why don't you shut your fat head
wow!
and read the email?
Nice!
I agree.
Kurt!
Shut up.
My God.
Nobody knows who you are, so you shut up.
First things the first. We got to read Shalata's email.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Right. Besides the most ridiculous non-call at the end, what really set me off is that there were no explanations from the ref. As a TV viewer, that's sort of okay since you get it from the booth. But for people who are actually at the game, really, that's the best you can do? Shameful.
Disrespectful to your fan and your consumer.
On to something I thought was positive. We held them to 45 yards of the ground with their feared running attack. I thought that was impressive. Question, what's up with Tlaib? Did he re-aggravate his hip, or was it, as I've read, a quad strain? Again, I'm seriously concerned about our secondary, especially going into this week against the Broncos. Great show as always. P.S. Peyton has Andy beat for the biggest head by miles. That's good, Andy.
Screw you, Charlotte.
Somebody has a bigger head than you. All right, now I will introduce Scott Sudikoff. Did I say your name right?
Sudikoff.
Sudikoff, no. like the cold medicine.
Yes, unfortunately, I've heard that a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't thought. Sudafed, a cough.
Oh, my God.
Sudikoff.
Joe, here's your meat.
Scott is filling in for John Rook on the Patriots Playbook. Thanks for coming in, Scott.
No problem. Thanks for having
me. You're from 98.5, right?
No, I am not.
Oh, you're from EEI?
I'm from the other guys.
Oh, okay.
Good show, Prep.
That's 0 for 2, Fred. That's 0 for 2.
I didn't know
didn't
that
know his name, didn't know where he works.
Kevin, I didn't know that you had ins at EEI. I thought you just had your...
I'm national, Fred.
You're national?
Oh, national. We go way back. We go back to the days of UMass where I spent one semester.
So okay. Playing pickup basketball. That's where we met.
Pickup basketball.
Now he roots to the Terrapins.
Now, Scott, I don't know if you know, but usually, you know, John's first show of the week is a Tuesday. And, of course, because this is a Monday night, it's Wednesday. And his first show is Nitpick Tuesday. So are you going to be doing a similar show? What kind of show can people look forward to today from 2 to 4?
I believe we'll be doing a Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday. We put together a whole new imaging for that as well, so it'll sound great, Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday. Lots of emails and phone calls, I'll assume, on that last play of the game. That what do we want to call it? Non-call, penalty call? Is there an official name for it?
Screw job.
The Gronkowski hug? The Kuechly hug?
Right.
Is that...
I call him Luca Lely.
They look like good buddies, though. Friendly.
Yeah. So what's your take on that? I mean, obviously, you thought it was a bad call.
It'd be funny if he said, I thought it was the right call.
That's
no, he thinks it's the right call.
No.
That would be 2 hours of good radio.
No, I don't think it was the right call.
You better not have a butt at the end of this sentence.
It should be a penalty. A penalty is a penalty. Officials can't call it differently because it was sort of uncatchable. But in my mind, he wasn't going to make the play. So that it lessens the blow a little bit.
So you think the call was right?
No, I don't think the call was right.
He thinks like I think.
No, I see
he
what
thinks
you're
saying. They blew the call. The Patriots should have been bailed out. You think exactly
yes,
like
the Patriots would have been.
I think there was a 0% chance of that play being
completed. I would have said, oh, we get an extra play. That's great.
But it should be pass interference because the guy was interfered with before the ball got there. A penalty.
Was he holding him before the ball was thrown, though?
I don't think before it was thrown.
So it would have been at the one. Would have been at the 1 yard line.
As soon as Gronk entered the end zone, he engaged him. You know, so
you can't call holding.
It'd be pass interference.
You can't
not
call
holding,
right. But let's face it, a 5 yard penalty would have been probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle, right? And I think you can call holding.
Yeah.
If
that's
you can
saying,
call
you can.
Nothing,
well, you
then you
could
call holding.
You also could have called it illegal contact if you wanted to.
And I think Brady admitted he made a bad pass, and had the pass been a little closer to Gronk, I think.
Yeah, there's no way.
Right, there's no way.
He gave them the out, and they took it.
Right, the best case scenario there is Gronkowski gets the ball, deflects it, some sort of jump ball, and then you go from there if he had a chance to get to it. That's what it seemed like.
So
on
we're
that pass.
We're all blaming Brady. Is that where we're leaving this show?
No, I'm still blaming the refs, but, you know.
I blame Dean Blambenino.
Well, all right. So, Scott, have a good show.
Good luck when you go back to 98.5.
Or EEI, whichever one it is.
No, it's 1510, I think.
That's Andy.
Are they still doing
They are. I'll be there in an hour. I'll be there in an hour.
Really? You
NBC
actually,
Yahoo Sports
you
Radio.
You actually leave here to go there?
Yes, Fred.
Off to Quincy you go. Get out of here.
It's a very nice studio.
Wow. All right.
It's in Quincy, though.
And then, did you do some work for them?
No, but I know where it is.
Oh, me too.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Scott, we'll see you. And as for our listeners, we'll see you tomorrow.
This hair, fleas and texture everywhere. That's our original sin. Down the hill fell Jack and Jill, and you came to Tumbleland.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.